Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 206.
206.
Apparently, the weather was okay enough today for everybody to come, Josh.
We don't need them.
Apparently, yeah.
We need Pat's news.
Yeah, true. We did struggle without Pat's news.
Glad to see I have some place in life.
Yes. Yes. You are important to us. What?
Nothing.
Oh, you're the one that left that bottle here yesterday? Just junking up the place?
Nice. It's not me.
Better than cookie crumbs.
Yeah, true.
Smash right in there.
Oh, I could go for an ice cream sandwich.
So could I.
Yeah, pull it.
All right.
Okay.
That's just her job in life.
No, it would be, what? Shut up. Go away.
I would get told to go F myself.
Yes. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
Yay.
Think about that for a second, Dave. You sure?
Yeah, he did.
I'm not totally sure.
Well, we know he's not Santa anymore, so.
Well, he hesitated in the way that I thought he was.
That's been debunked.
Not the right name. Like, yeah. That wasn't him.
Hector?
Hector? And then you just went, and then we were like, what?
No, I wasn't going to call him out on that.
You were.
So we will start with Pat.
Pat's news.
Back again. Well.
Was there any news?
There was. There was a couple things from last week you guys didn't go over, and then some stuff from this week.
We blew it.
Well, no. You didn't blow it. I wasn't here.
You need Pat in order to keep
this
going.
The one thing
about my road's not blowed.
The one thing I was disappointed you guys didn't mention was Alan Rickman dying.
He could have.
That was.
You think I'm going to talk about somebody dying?
Well, like
you guys would then rip into me.
In this case, you can't.
Well, no, I would have said this week Abe Vigoda, who wasn't really in anything other than The Godfather. That but
Barney Miller.
Yeah, he was
Rubble.
There was a cartoon about him, and that he was showing up in heaven, and God was like, aren't you here?
Yeah.
Speaking to Colin's comment about him not wanting to make a comment about someone dying, I have to point out there were no mean-spirited jokes aimed at Colin last week on the podcast. None.
Because you were the only one there.
I'm just saying that I'm the nice one.
Don't kiss up. Nobody likes to kiss up.
For all the listeners that complain that we're too mean to him.
We're directing it all towards Josh today.
Josh, that's a nice watch.
Nice watch, Josh.
I fight back at him.
So does he, just not very well.
That's true.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I'm still disappointed you didn't mention that because, he was in the greatest movie ever made.
Die Hard.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, what was it? Karma. Dogma.
Galaxy Quest?
Dogma? I like Dogma. I love Galaxy Quest, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just not Christmas until I see Hans Gruber fall out a window.
Yep. No, it isn't.
It's the greatest Christmas movie ever made. So. They announced that Star Wars shifted dates.
Yeah, like a long ways.
Well, it's 6 months.
To where it should be.
Yeah,
it should be in December.
Well, no, it was...
And then it won't be on Free Comic Day.
No, it should be 2 years after the other one.
Well, they were doing 3 years apart. For the first six came out 3 years apart. This one's going to be two. It was going to be 18 months. I kind of like the idea of it being in May, though, because that's just historically when Star Wars movies have come out. The only one that came out in December was the last one.
You're saying historically. I'm saying way back before all the young fans care about it. I think there's so much coming out in...
You mean as of last month?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that was the first time it happened.
I'm just saying, who cares if it comes, like, with the historical month for it.
It's kind of a summer popcorn movie. So, I mean...
Yeah, I just feel like there's so much that comes out in that time frame.
That's true.
And 18 months, it just feels...
It would have been rushed. Yeah, I know. I do agree with that. And it's 18 months, but it isn't, because this December you have Rogue One come out. So it only would have been 6 months between Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
So. Just, whatever. A week and a half ago, they did the, Dawn of Justice
special.
Yeah. And they showed some footage of Wonder Woman and showed the logo.
I like the Wonder Woman footage quite a bit. There were a lot of people online hating on it. I don't know.
Wait, like, who made it?
Huh?
Who made the...
People were hating
on it. I know, but who made the movie? Who made the prequel?
Warner Brothers DC.
Yeah. Oh. That's why they're hating on it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
The one thing I didn't... Someone... I was listening to a podcast and they mentioned this. Was that no dialogue was spoken in any of the footage. And we haven't heard her speak yet in any of the Dawn of Justice stuff. So, you know, is she going to speak in her... She's actually Israeli. Is she going to speak in her natural speaking voice? Or is it going to be an Americanized version of it?
I wish people would just give up on the fact of what she looks like.
You know, that's what? The thing that's really nuts. Because in the action scenes we saw, she looked fine.
She looks good.
She looked fine.
And actually, that's what my wife said. My wife at first was like, no, she's not Wonder Woman. Linda Carter is Wonder Woman. And,
yeah,
and
why,
I was kinda like,
why don't we hire Linda Carter as Wonder Woman?
Well,
she came out her walker and... Yeah. You know, cause,
have her do a Stan Lee-esque cameo.
Yeah, they're going to be like, we're going to need some backflips and all sorts of things that you could never do.
Can you spin
just
real quick? Can you give us a high kick, please?
Yeah, can you guys?
Never mind.
No real offense to Linda Carter, but...
No, but like...
But,
no.
What, the Walker comment? Nice.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that was a little...
No offense. It's a nice walker.
Linda Carter is iconic in that role.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Get past it.
But
like,
it doesn't
not...
mean you can never have another Wonder Woman.
Like,
does that mean... Does
Christopher
that mean...
Reeve is iconic in Superman, but there's been
why wasn't he? Why wasn't he more like George Reeves?
Yeah.
Well, that was a little before my time, so I couldn't speak to that. But...
I watched... Drink one. I actually watched in syndication that when I was a kid.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Except for the fact that when he was Clark Kent and when he was Superman, he was the exact same guy. But
what?
Clark Kent and Superman are the same?
No, like, he acted the exact same.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, that would have been crazy talk, Clark Kent and Superman. Come on. Reporter for the Daily Planet by day, superhero by night. Come on, Josh.
All the comments about her being, you know, too much of a twig or whatever, just
no, dumb. I think she looks good.
And even with the accent, I don't care if she has an accent because she's not
actually,
from.
Actually, no, I think that the accent.
She's not from America.
I would prefer that she had.
What kind of accent is she supposed to have, though, really?
Themyscirian?
Well, it would
exactly.
Be. It should be
almost
more
like a
Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where,
but I think Israeli is going to sound Greek enough, you know.
I think they
but it's not going to sound Russian.
We're Americans.
Or,
we're dumb.
Well, it's not going to sound Russian or Hispanic or British. It's going to be, you know, something unfamiliar to most people.
Yeah,
which is
like
how it should
Star
be.
Star Wars, everybody is a space Brit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
How did she talk in Fast and Furious?
Never saw it.
I think she used an American accent.
She wasn't there to talk. Oh, sorry.
That's also true.
Well, Linda Carter should have played her, too.
Just so she doesn't call Bruce Wayne governor and offer to sweep the chimney or something.
Cockney accent.
Suddenly, we're throwing British into the mix.
We just got Dave.
Damn. All right, moving on.
Dave's trolling the podcast.
Yep.
What did you think of the specials themselves?
Okay, so the Legends of Tomorrow one I thought was stupid. Just in the fact that if I had never watched Arrow or never watched Flash, that show wouldn't have appealed to me anyway.
That's true.
But anyone that did watch either of those two shows already knows who 90% of the cast is.
Yeah.
It's really just Rip Hunter is the new piece of it. So
but
that,
seeing
to
it,
me,
though,
was,
what did you... I mean, knowing who all the characters were, did you still not...
It just seemed cheesy.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was a half-hour plug for a show that I was already going to watch.
Yeah, just the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Half-hour commercial, infomercial. I didn't see it, but I'm just assuming.
Yeah, and that's really
what
it was.
Your assumption is correct.
Okay.
The other one, the Dawn of Justice, mixed feelings on it. Kevin Smith
was
incredibly annoying. I like Kevin Smith's movies. I like Kevin Smith. It's not a... But he acted like the biggest fanboy / I don't know anything about comics at the same time.
That's exactly how he does.
Yeah, and it's just like... Okay.
Wait, are you telling me we're going to see Batman and Superman
yeah,
on the screen?
Yeah.
No way!
Yeah. In a movie called Batman vs. Superman, that's exactly what you're going to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
he
that
even goes to the whenever he's talking, he'll say usually like he got into comics later and he didn't really read into everything. He collected what people told him to collect. He's not really he doesn't know that much about comic books.
Well,
but he just so happened to base a lot of his writing around people who read comics or made comics that people automatically are like, this guy knows comic books. So he just plays that part.
Well, but I mean, and he has had time writing comics, so that's you know, that's part of it too. I don't think he was a bad choice. I understand why he was kind of afraid.
No, it's just his shtick kind of when you know that it's completely fake.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know the hand waving and all.
He's talking to an audience.
Jazz hands.
He's talking to an audience that knows that he knows.
Yeah.
So it just kind of seemed a bit fake, and it didn't work that. It was him being all over the top next to Geoff Johns, who's kind of like straight man
the whole time. Yeah, exactly. But
I almost wish they would have had like DiDio and Jim Lee there instead. Cause I feel like DiDio would have paired better with Kevin Smith. I mean, I like Geoff Johns a lot, but it just
I think it's hard.
He played absolute straight man of that. Yeah. But the upside was we did get the Suicide Squad trailer,
which was really fun.
Yeah, it
much
was.
Better than the other trailer.
See, I liked the other trailer, but I did like this one better.
I liked the other trailer. The other trailer was too solemn, and the opera esque music and her spinning in her cage upside down. It just I don't know. It felt a little weird to me.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
Like this seemed like it hit all the right notes and really made you interested to see every single one of those characters.
Their big thing up front was the focus so much on Harley Quinn, though. That was their plan. But
well, and I think
after that, you needed more.
I think that's part of the other problem with it. In a lot of ways, it's like the problem you have with Guardians of the Galaxy. You're going to have people going into it who already know who most of the characters are. You don't need to do the introduction for them. And then you're going to have the people that they take that know none of these characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm excited to see Harley Quinn on screen. It's already been determined this is not the Harley Quinn we know from the animated series.
Yeah.
Which I really wanted to get the accent right, and she's not doing the accent.
Yeah,
but I'm okay with it.
Just surprised because I think that she could... from seeing other movies that she's been in. So I think it's been a creative choice not to do that.
Yeah.
But I do think this trailer made her seem more like Harley Quinn than the other trailer did.
Yeah. Yeah. Slipknot, he's going to be gone in the first 5 minutes of that movie. I mean, he punches the female FBI agent or whatever she is. Whatever. And then... you don't see him again in the rest of the trailer, so that kind of leads me to believe he's going to have the back of his head explode in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
You get it, just I can't get it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I thought it was cool how they kind of did the Killer Croc and all that.
Yeah.
I thought
Captain Boomerang was going to seem kind of stupid on the big screen. But he worked in that trailer at least.
Yeah.
Like, I love the scene
he's
where
the
he, like,
relief.
Ducks behind the car and pops open a can.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to end up being the comic relief for the movie, which is good. I'm still torn on the Will Smith thing. I like Will Smith as an actor. I've liked a lot of the stuff that he's in. I don't see him as Deadshot, though.
No,
I would have preferred... him waiting for the Aquaman movie and being Black Manta where he could have a much bigger role.
Yeah, but this made me more confident than the other one did, where the other one you saw him say,
some side of Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and
this one it's
about saving the world and
you can tell he's going to be Rick Flagg's kind of number two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
your number two.
Bring that up.
Well, no, it's funny. My nephew, every year when they do the Easter egg hunt, they hide the Easter eggs out in my sister-in-law's backyard, and they put the numbers on them, and it's just based on birth order. So my daughter's number one, but my nephew is number two. So we just always Make a point. Yep, Alex is number two.
You get elbowed and...
No, yeah, pretty much. But, you know, I'm still eight in that regard.
Yeah,
poor Alex.
Yeah, not really. He deserves it.
Remember this.
Oh, well.
He'll agree.
He'll agree.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed the trailer. I thought the song choice was pretty cool. I like how a lot of the things lined up with beats.
Yeah, it was
the song.
It was cut perfectly for the song.
Yeah. So that's you know, there's so many movies coming out this year, and they keep like now I don't know which one I want to see. Like I want to see Batman the most, but I don't know Captain America or Suicide Squad. You know. I'm kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. Probably Batman vs. Superman, then Captain America, then Suicide Squad, then Doctor Strange this year?
Yeah, November.
Was Deadpool on your list?
Yeah, Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool. Man, Deadpool's up there, too, because
Deadpool's out in 2 weeks. I can't.
2 weeks?
February 10th.
Wow. That one looks really... Man, it might be... Batman, Superman, then Deadpool.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm like, those two, and then, you know, then I got Cap, X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, X-Men.
Not terribly excited for that.
I kind of am.
X-Men Apocalypse?
Yeah, not terribly excited for it.
I don't know. Maybe it all depends on the person, I guess, if you're really into that kind of... Were you ever into X-Men that heavily?
Yeah, I love the movies. I've not read a ton of the comics, but...
Yeah.
Love the cartoon. Love the Genesis game.
How were you on the last movie?
I love the Genesis game up to the point where it took me several weeks to figure out I had to hit the reset button on the damn Genesis.
Oh, man, yeah. no, I liked the last movie, but some of it felt a bit, you know, out of place or maybe...
There were some.
Just the switching between the time periods.
Time travel movies.
It's kind of weird, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of am. I mean, I'm kind of excited. I've liked this run since... Brian Singer kind of jumped back into the reins of it a little bit.
I guess with that franchise, since it's the same characters, and it's all like kind of gone through this, you know, the same story through, not story thread, but it's all been connected.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel as fresh and exciting
as
these other movies do. So I'm less excited for it. Cause I feel like I'm just seeing the next chapter in this thing that I've been. Whereas Batman Superman, this is
brand
new thing. Deadpool, brand new thing.
Batman Superman, that.
You know. Captain America coming off of Winter Soldier, which is phenomenal. And
got Star Trek too, Josh.
Star Trek, I'm hugely excited for
that,
but we haven't seen a whole lot. Yeah. So I'm hoping.
Everybody was complaining about that teaser at
the trailer
during Star Wars. The trailer,
I don't love that trailer.
I don't either, but it didn't like. I didn't look at it where it's like this looks ridiculous.
No, it's not that it looks ridiculous.
It doesn't look like a Star Trek movie.
That's the
but
problem.
It looks like a fun movie.
It looks like a fun action popcorn movie.
Yes,
but not a Star Trek movie. And I want a Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
I feel like we've already had two popcorn movies. Give me a Star Trek movie.
Yeah. Well, I think the second one was a Star Trek movie, but the problem is it was a Star Trek movie that was already done.
It was a bastardized Star Trek movie.
But it was still a Star Trek movie. Anyway, moving
on. But Simon Pegg came out and said that the trailer is not indicative of how the movie's going to be. That was the marketing.
I thought the other people that were like, oh, a Star Trek trailer in a Star Wars movie, that's taboo. Did you hear those people? I was just like,
I would turn around. See, and then had I heard that, I would
say, they are dumb. Those people are dumb.
Don't you know that it's pretty much the same audience, you moron?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They'd be dumb not to.
The
yeah.
same guy is involved with both properties.
Yeah.
It's like having, you know, the X-Men trailer being attached to Deadpool. We can't do that. It's the same audience. The people that are going to see one are going to go see the other.
Look at you, Dad.
Yeah. So, some comic book news. I'll save that one for
you. Aren't they connected to X-Men in the Deadpool movie?
Yes. Well, kind of. Colossus is going to be in the
Deadpool
movie. I think
the Deadpool movie exists in the same world as...
I believe so.
The...
I think it's
previous X-Men movies.
It's a different decade, I think it's supposed to.
The modern-day X-Men movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but remember that whole timeline got erased in Days of Futures Past. So
and now this is the current,
So, it is, but it's kind of...
I want to see what they
It's
do
a close
that.
Cousin, I'd put it that way. I was reading today, they said that Deadpool 2099 is now going to be like a regular ongoing thing
of course
with the Deadpool movies, or with the Deadpool books, in between the main arcs, which...
How about all Spanish Deadpool? Would that be a...
Massacre.
Oh, okay. Is that going to be an ongoing as well?
No. Massacre.
Oh, you got to have the... Yeah.
If someone told you 5 years ago you would have this many Deadpool books going on in your store, Colin, would you believe them?
Well, I mean, it's happened before. There was another point where you had 4 ongoing Deadpools, and it killed the entire franchise, and they canceled all of them.
And then they had this big thing.
It's going to happen again.
Like, we're only going to have like 2 Deadpool books.
Because there was Deadpool, like Deadpool thing? Core, Deadpool Team Up. I forget what the
Deadpool
other one
Max.
Was.
Yeah.
Was that around the time of X-Men Origins? Whenever.
I don't know if it was tied to that. It was just a case of, they went, this is doing well. We need another Deadpool book. Oh, they like 2? Let's do 3. Let's do 4.
Wasn't there...
Because next week we have that other Deadpool, Merc for the Money. We still have Deadpool Cable.
Deadpool's an Uncanny Avengers. He's, yeah, I mean, that's...
It's overkill.
And I'm a Deadpool guy, and it's too much.
When they before, when they had a bunch of things, wasn't there like a voting thing or something where they were going to eliminate a bunch of them, but leave only 2 or something?
Looks like that's Starfire.
Where they were going to say whichever one sells the best, that one's going the next time. Or,
I
forget.
I don't know.
But yeah, there were a lot back then still.
Spidey
was like that too.
Yeah, I mean, certain characters can kind of pull it off. But
for only for so long.
Yeah, I mean, Deadpool's not one of those characters.
No.
So, Marvel came up with a teaser, Dead No More. And first, that's all it was, and then they re-released it with a spider web behind it, which kind of leads everybody to believe it's going to be a Spider-Man
but
character.
But watch it not be. Let them go, oh no, just a cobweb on the coffin.
Yay.
Gotcha.
I mean, guys.
Well, Adam and I were talking about this last night, and it's like, well, who could it be?
Yeah.
Uncle Ben?
Well,
boring and dumb.
Yeah, I'd say that.
That'd be like Batman's parents coming back to life.
The two biggest that I was reading online, that
Gwen Stacy or Doc Ock.
Well, two other ones people kept mentioning a lot of were Madam Web, the original Madam Web, or Ben Reilly.
Okay.
To which both of them you'll get a great big who?
Yeah.
And then... The one I really think it is, the way the direction they have been going in, is Doc Ock. And he'd come back as the superior Spider-Man.
But here's my problem with that. How long has Doc Ock been gone?
Not in reality,
because the last run went, what, 18 issues?
Well, as Doc Ock or...
Since Spider-Man.
Because he was...
Right, no, yeah. But I'm saying, so...
Spider-Man 700 was when he died.
You're saying it's not that exciting because we just had him in something not that long ago.
Right. Well, no, it wasn't even that. It was Superior Spider-Man issue, whatever it was.
Well, no, but...
Right, seven. But I'm saying when we haven't had Doc Ock, it was... Because we had the last run when 18 issues, but in the middle of that we had Spider-Verse where he existed. So it's like he hasn't really been gone, you know, in reality.
Yes.
So, you know, it's another one of those, oh, guess who's back? You missed him. Not really.
Since they got Gwenpool and Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards it's not going to be her because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It wouldn't make any sense. Oh, the other one was Silver Sable.
Right after this whole...
Okay.
Because Silver Sable has been a big part of his Nobody Dies thing. Because that's why he thought it up, because she did die.
Boom.
Oh.
So it always could be Silver Sable.
But it's all being written by Tomasi.
But that's another one where people are going to say, who?
4 books, 2 months.
Because I'm sure during Ends of the Earth, which is when she died, people were still like, who's Silver Sable?
Why do I care?
So...
How about Harry Osborn?
He's alive. He actually, he's big in, I think, 2019. He runs a branch, one of the buildings of Parker Industries.
Okay.
I think it's the New York office. So
okay, I wasn't sure.
No, he is still alive. He has the baby Stanley.
Okay.
Who we haven't seen actually a lot of is the baby.
Okay.
That was that Goblin baby.
And the last thing I got was kind of related, kind of. We don't know.
Okay.
So DC sent out a tweet that said Rebirth. Mm. And
was it Jim Lee first who sent out the tweet?
I think it was, well, first it was Bleeding Cool, and then I think in response to that, I think it was DiDio.
Yeah, then Jim Lee did it as well.
So then Jeff Johns and Ethan Van Sciver made comments.
Jeff Johns said, will be more detailed soon, know how important the word rebirth means to us in DC Comics. And then Van Sciver said, so excited.
Glad I re-upped. Yeah.
Be working on rebirth. Which makes, that sort of stuff makes rebirth sound like it's not any sort of reboot or relaunch.
It's some sort of project. Right. Now, but the rebirth books before were bringing back Silver Age characters to the modern.
Which that could be a lot of it, because, I mean, they're bringing back a lot of those characters anyways.
Right, but they did it in Convergence.
Yeah.
So that's why, I mean, that's kind of why I'm intrigued.
But, they, yeah.
Superman's underwear, rebirth.
I will say one thing that it did is it made the Comics Pro meeting in a month a lot more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
No. Or not a month, 3 weeks.
Well.
But, yeah, made that a lot more interesting.
The, kind of one of the side things was, you know, the rumors automatically went to, well, you know, DC's
rebooting their whole line. Yeah.
We already heard before that some books were going to bi-monthly, mm-hmm. and it sounds like the only one so far that's confirmed is Batman.
Right, and we also, I think it's been confirmed that Snyder's going to Detective.
Yeah. Well, no, that part's not confirmed. Snyder
is leaving Capullo Batman.
Confirmed it. Yeah, Capullo confirmed.
When did that happen?
Recently. Someone tweeted something.
I was going to say, because Snyder,
that's what I
Snyder
saw,
had something that he tweeted out that he didn't say he was going to Detective, but what he did say is, him and Capullo are going to enjoy their time on Batman. They're going to be off for 6 months and then do something together.
Someone tweeted Capullo saying that there was something on Scott Snyder's Instagram that made it sound like he was going to Detective. Is that true? And Capullo was like, yes.
Okay.
So, unless Capullo was just...
Which, in that, whatever.
I don't know why they would do that, though. Unless they want to make Detective the main Batman.
Oh, no, here's
Batman
why. Because he doesn't want to do...
The bi-monthly. Well, and I can understand that, but... Mm-hmm. Because
I remember he said,
right,
but he said long ago that he only likes to do 3 books a month. And I bet he doesn't want 2/3 of his workload to be one book.
Why don't you put Detective to be your bi monthly book?
Because Batman's a bigger number.
Right, but if Scott Snyder
goes to Detective, Scott Snyder's the one.
That's the thing. It works both ways. People still buy Batman twice a month, and then Detective will get better sales.
Yeah. Could be.
It's a temporary thing.
I mean, Batman and Detective used to be much closer for me. Detective has definitely dropped. Even just with,
it started strong,
but even during Emperor Penguin, it dropped and all that.
I like that.
It
story.
Really,
yeah, like
but it,
it
really dropped during.
Who was writing that? Was it Layman back then?
Layman did Sun. Daniel started,
and that was the biggest thing. What they did at the beginning, he started with it, and they switched him at New 52 because Scott Snyder was writing Detective at that time before New 52, and Daniels was writing Batman.
And they switched
him at New 52, and then, you know, Batman did better still.
I read Detective up until, well, no, when Buccellato went on it, I read the first couple issues of it, didn't necessarily care for it and dropped it, but that was kind of like when, you know, we talked before about a book you're just kind of holding on to, and Detective was that book for a while.
I didn't mind it because at that time it was
Icarus.
Yeah.
I loved the Icarus arc. The arc after that wasn't as good.
No. What I liked about it, it was this Bullock book, which I was like, they wrote it really nice as a Bullock book,
which is what it should be.
Yeah,
it should be.
If you have,
he's a detective.
Well, if it's called Detective Comics, it should be more.
Either it should be Bullock and GCPD, or it should be more street level, you know, mystery solving stuff with Batman.
But where they're screwing up now is that it's another Batman book. Yeah. So it's just Batman. Or you could have spread out your characters in the family a little bit, which I think that's the big thing right now that they're not doing, is that they're saying Batman does so well, put him in everything, instead of spreading out the family a little bit and doing stuff with it.
Well, yeah.
And DCU kind of messed up a lot of their books. A lot of them. Not just with the character changes, but when they... I don't think they really had a plan with some of them, which one I'll talk about later, but Robin, Son of Batman being one, is we need a Damian book. What are we going to do? I don't know, but we need one. You know, that's not enough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that with DC.
what I got for news, Colin.
Okay.
That's the news.
One thing I wanted to talk about, and it definitely ties into Rebirth and what that means, is it was I enjoyed Josh. One of the things Josh and I talked about last week was just the disappointment I've had in the DC and Marvel. Well, the Marvel relaunch, but DC also has not done well. I had a little Twitter conversation with Big Bang Comics over in Dublin, Ireland, and then I know I put the link on the website of the yeah. Beat kind of parsed all their tweets together to show what they were talking about, which is weird. That's this week's cover.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Josh is looking in the new previews and the Robin Son of Batman cover is. That one came out this week. It doesn't say previous cover or anything. No. Okay. So that was just a little weird. But yeah, easily distracted. Sorry. But I was talking about how much this DC reboot has not done well. I was talking to Pat and Josh and mentioned I had the January order sitting next to me and realized 17. Of my books, of my Marvel titles, were in single-digit orders. And it's funny, because then a thread started on the Comic Book Industry Alliance, that it's basically for retailers, and they have publishers and stuff on it. And someone started a thread saying, wanted to bring up the 600-pound gorilla, and it's how disappointing those two companies are doing. And it's just funny that Bleeding Cool just reprinted, basically, he must have gotten permission from the people, but reprinted basically everything. But yeah, I mean, it started off with today. I was looking for some feedback from those of you that experienced a large shift in the big two sales of late. While Marvel sales are okay, this has been truncated by the avalanche of products that's been sent to us this season. While I was a big DC store for over 15 years, they've dramatically fell to third place here in about a year. It seems to be that Marvel is doing carpet bombing of all available dollars, and our customers spend, while DC doesn't seem to have much of a clue on publishing popular comics. Just basically asking if there were any similar things, and then you have other comments like, we're seeing the worst fall off of Marvel and DC sales in the store's 38-year history. Both companies are losing established readers who no longer feel that the company's output reflects the sort of comics they enjoy. Stories are lackluster, unfocused, and excessively long as companies think in terms of collected editions, not individual issues. The tone is dark and uninviting. My Marvel readers in particular are complaining about art that this isn't what they expect from a Marvel book. Cartoony art, manga-influenced art, quirky art. The concept of a house style is gone. For the first time in store history, yesterday's Marvel FOC saw us ordering single digits on more than half of the line of the Marvel section. Yeah, here you go. I'm glad it's not just me. My January order had 31 Marvel titles in single digits and 26 DC titles. Like, that guy's only been around for 11 years, but overall, yeah, I don't want to read the whole thing to you, but it's interesting seeing that I'm not the only one experiencing this problem. I'm just kind of briefly going over. But, the number one reason for dropping titles we've gotten, though, is reboots. Every time Marvel and DC relaunch a title, a few new readers will try it, but more readers jump ship. Even in the rare case where a relaunch book gets us more sales than the previous series, for the first issue, sales will drop below the previous series within an issue or two. And I remember I was reading the Beat sales analysis, which was really nice only in the sense that for years the DC guy was overly pessimistic about DC. Like even if the sales didn't change, they stayed exactly the same. Well, they're not growing, so they're dying. Overly pessimistic, and then the Marvel guy was just overly optimistic, and everything's great, where it wasn't. Yeah. The new guy that they have doing it is actually this time comparing on the sales chart pre-relaunch, post-relaunch sales numbers, and basically keeping a tally of how many successes they have had. And overwhelmingly, it's been failures. We're now, after the new number one, it's selling below where it was beforehand. Which is bad.
I think there's a couple different reasons for that. Some of the books just clearly aren't well thought out. And we said this before. I think especially with Marvel, it seems like some of the titles they came out with were similar to the war stories with G.I. Zombie mm-hmm. and all. Mm-hmm. It was just done to hold on to the trademark. Yeah. Yeah. If they never want to do anything with it, that's what's... Because, like, Red Wolf.
Well, okay, like, on. I just... They announced Knight. This week they're doing a Thunderbolts book. I'm like...
Yeah.
Why? Not that there's anything wrong with Thunderbolts, but...
Yeah, this is like, what, the fourth volume?
Yeah.
It probably won't
But
get
do they have a
10.
Reason? Do they have a reason why they're bringing out a Thunderbolts mm-hmm. book, really? Or they're just going to be like, we need a Thunderbolts mm-hmm. book, just because.
My concern, and I know I've definitely talked about this, is just that they need to get back to the core. Both companies need to focus again on the core. You know, in, like, talking with people, you know, there is no core X-Men book. There is no core Avengers book.
No.
You know, our Hulk book right now is Amadeus Cho. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's just everything is very peripheral. Everything is very niche, every cutesy, like they're saying about the cartoony art. You know, everything is that where we don't have anything for the core people. You know, for, where's the books for your 40-year-old guys who, believe it or not, are spending the bulk of the money? You know, your college-age kids aren't buying tons of books. That's my problem with all these, you know, cutesy books, the Silk, Spider-Gwen, Ms. Marvel, Patsy Walker,
you know,
stuff like that.
I hate to be old, but, you know, I'm glad Steve Rogers was coming back as Captain America. And, you know, I want Bruce Banner back as the Hulk and Thor back.
I think they've had every moment, though, to do that. And I think they've especially had that with Secret War, but they went in a completely different direction where it almost seems like an amalgam universe of some sort that, like, they were just like, yeah, but we'll make Falcon Cap and this
well,
and
I,
that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoever
the question
that.
I would have...
Especially with the movies. With the cinematic universe, these aren't the characters we're getting in the cinematic universe. Why
yeah,
aren't they...
I don't want it to become the cinematic universe.
I want to see the characters,
universe,
though, that
yeah.
I'm watching the movies of sometimes. I want to see... If there's a Cap movie out, well, why isn't there a Cap book out with Steve Rogers? Which I guess now...
Yeah, there will be.
We will.
With a different shield.
It's just... Yeah.
I just...
It's
you
really
know,
weird.
I'm all for diversity. I think it's great that they're trying new things and you know, trying to bring in new audiences, and that's fine. But don't forget about the audience that's been loyal
that's
to
what
you.
That's what I think they've done.
Yeah.
Is they by ignoring them, they're leaving. And the first two people who bought Secret Wars 2 weeks ago said to me, and this was scary, this will be the last Marvel comic I buy for a while. And it's like, wow. And I think that might have been part of the delays and stuff, but it also dealt with the relaunch going too early, and nobody quite, it just seemed disorganized. And it's, I can understand people going, you know what? I'm not buying in. I'm going to wait till they get their act together.
Well, I've heard too many times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of down to, like, I'm reading Deadpool because, you know, maybe that's my just hold on book. I'll hold on to it till it gets good again. I'll read Moon Knight when that comes out. When they come out with a new Punisher, I'll read that because those are the characters I like. I've dropped everything else. I mean, now I'm picking up Valiant books. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try something different.
Yeah. No, I'm seeing a lot of that. My problem is, you know, the Marvel and DC pay the rent.
Right.
And
but
all of a sudden, when that's slipping, you know.
You're not going to sell 100 copies of Ninjak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great
it's
if you
so
did.
It's so easy to drop stuff now that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That there's not.
That's
no book is in it's like 300s or 400s like it used to be.
I had this argument, discussion with someone who was talking digital, and I said the problem digital sounds great, but the problem is if you've been collecting Spider-Man since you were a kid, you're not going to suddenly stop. Oh, I don't like this arc. I'm not going to buy it, and I'll pick it back up when it's over, because then all of a sudden you're going to have this 6-issue gap.
Yeah, that's how I feel, yeah.
So you want to keep that going. Digital, there's nothing like that. You can come and go as you please. So you're expecting, oh, we're going to sell X amount of copies, and all of a sudden it cuts in half, and you have no idea why. Do they come back?
But that's the other thing. So, you know, it used to be you'd have a 1-issue story or you'd have a 2-issue story. Yeah. So, okay, I don't like this story. I can suffer through it for 2 issues or whatever.
Right.
But now, if I take Spider-Man, I really didn't like the way the arc's going. I drop it. Well, now it's 6 months before the new arc starts. I'll probably forget about it. I found something else to read.
It'll be a new number one.
Or it's late. Yeah. You know, that's the thing with so many of these books. And that's actually something I'm going to talk to Image about, is I get it where they want to do 6 months and then take a 3-month break. In 6 months and a 3-month break, which is great, except I'm seeing sales halved when they come back because people move on. I mean, Image, you're competing with yourself.
Yeah.
And if you kind of half remember the book, but it, the story arc ended, so you think it's over.
Yes.
All of a sudden, you're on. You go and you try two other books, and all of a sudden, that book comes back. Oh, I don't remember what happened. I thought it was done.
I'm enjoying the other two books. I'm done.
I'm past, and you know, and the main people that are hanging are me because I ordered based on how it sold.
Because that involves you going and rereading. Again, to figure out where it last left off. Yeah. And you're just like, why am I investing so much time into this book when I can read something else?
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm just really hoping they both... Because I have a feeling... you never know. You know, Disney just going to go, oh, whatever, the comic business lost $1 million, whatever.
As long as it generates... You know, I guess it depends on how they look at it. If they look at Marvel as a business unit, Marvel as a business unit is making money hand over fist. If they're looking at it as, you know, a percentage of comic book sales, yeah, then they might start questioning. But I don't think they bought it for the comic book business.
Yeah.
They bought it for the character rights, the licensing rights.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to make $3 on a comic book or $10 on an action figure.
Yeah. But I'm very interested to see when the next sales charts come in, just to see where Marvel is, because I have a feeling... Because I know my numbers are way down.
Well, Marvel killed it for me with Secret Wars, just that long hiatus of a bunch of tie-in books.
Yeah.
And it's just like Spider-Man came back, and I think that was basically all I stuck with. Because it was like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
So that's not uncommon for that something like that to happen.
But here's the other thing. We're kind of, you know, we're the ones who are sitting here podcasting about it, so we're kind of the hardcore... fans.
Yeah, that's the
and
thing.
If
we're doing
feel
it
that way, yeah, what's the casual guy
what are
gonna
your,
do?
Yeah, what are your casual guys doing? Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, like I when I was talking to Big Bang, I posted a list of the book, you know, I'm like, here's the core. It was like 17 books that these have to be solid. Then you can do a Robin. Then you can do you know, a Batwing, yeah. You know, these types of books, but we can't, you know, you got to get these books. And it was like, you know,
but, you know, he had a girl that was coming in and getting a lot of female characters, but one she was getting was Captain Marvel. Well, while the 6-month hiatus, I bet you never got that girl back.
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah,
that was the problem. Yeah, I know a couple, I think it was 3 women that were just getting Thor and haven't come back.
It's just like, what was your point? So, you're trying to sell all these female characters. Do you have the time to, but you just...
Well, no, now you derailed your whole...
You just shot yourself in the foot.
But yeah,
for what reason?
Here was my list of the must-have... DC that, you know, maybe if you're going to rebirth, just rebirth with these. Start with these. But it was Batman, Detective, Nightwing, Batgirl, Harley Quinn, just because of the movie and the popularity of the character. Superman action, Supergirl because of the TV show, Superboy. Justice League, Justice Society, Wonder Woman, Green Arrow because of the TV show, Green Lantern Corps, Teen Titans, Legion of Superheroes, Suicide Squad because of the movie. And then maybe a few dark with a Constantine or a Swamp Thing type book. But
you really think Legion?
I think they need a Legion book.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I think it's part of their identity as a company.
Aren't those most of your New 52 startup books, though?
They are, but I mean, it's only 17 of 52.
Yeah, but there was a lot of other...
But I mean, these are the ones that I think they need to have and have
solid. That launch
should
have been very staggered.
Yeah.
That launch should have included those core books first, and then months later start to come out with other... You know, side books.
But. Although at the same time, I mean, they did try like Red Lanterns. Who would have thought Red Lanterns was going to get, what was that, 35?
Something like that.
40?
But I don't think it did great for a while there. I think it picked up whenever Charles Soule.
Yeah, when Charles Soule picked it up, it did. I mean, I kind of went through the whole thing, but that was not a book that most people thought was going to do. But that's if they nail that 17, that keeps the lights on, and then you can try things with these other books.
Yeah.
But the quality on the core books has to be
has to be through the roof.
Because when people start dropping Batman or start dropping Superman, that kills.
Well, exactly. The quality, it has to be there that people have to pick this to look up, and it has to be good. I mean, they have to go with that. They can't just have no plan whatsoever and say, well, we got to have this character because... It would be a good character to start out with, but no reason for it. And I think the problem is, the other flip side of the coin is that the fans tend to gravitate towards certain characters. And right. you bring out, you know, what's it even
say? Is Aquaman on your list?
Yeah. Mm-mm. I mean, Aquaman.
He doesn't need his own book. He's not a core, doesn't need to have an Aquaman book.
See, mm-hmm. I would argue,
I would disagree.
Though, yeah, I would if say. He's part of the Justice League.
I think he needs a better
book. I think he needs to have his
I
own book.
Well, frankly, I think all the Justice League, if you have a character on the Justice
and
League.
And if
I
you're
think
giving Harley Quinn because of a movie, Aquaman's in a movie, too.
Yeah. I'm not an Aquaman fan, but I think okay. he would be a anyone that's kind of like your primary members
but
of the Justice League.
Aquaman, if done well,
that's
is
the thing.
A really
it goes
engaging
back with
book.
What Pat said.
Yeah.
It has to. They have to have, you know, reason. They have to have quality. They have to have. It has to be good.
That was a book that they clearly had a commitment to with that relaunch by putting, you know, their but, biggest gun, Jeff
wait,
Johns.
That's just it. You can't have Jeff Johns
yeah.
do 30
you can't.
Books a month.
No, no.
Well, you can't also have Cullen Bunn write 10 of these. You know.
Well, Colin Bunn can because he can write 10 of the not 17, but not.
He can write an entire company.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
I'm not a fan of Colin Bunn.
No, I'm not. I mean,
his Aquaman, I did not like.
No,
I did
was,
not like it.
It was awful. It is awful. It's still going on.
But yeah, I mean, you just have to. I don't know. They just. There's a lot of factors in this of, you know, well, the fans have to at least try it. Which I think a lot of times fans don't just try it, but there's a lot of reasons why fans just
but
don't
if you
try.
Launch with
just,
17 books, it makes it much easier for fans to jump onto those core
those
books.
Those ones, yeah.
When you have 52 new books coming at the same time,
it's too much.
Then, yeah, they can't try.
No, not unless they...
Although the first year for that relaunch was phenomenal.
I will say, though, I think where DC... When DC was having those waves where it was, you know, wave two of books were coming out, wave three, I think they were doing better then because we were looking at it, we were like, okay, this looks cool. The third wave.
Yeah, but
this
the second
out,
wave and the third wave were due to these were the books that weren't selling out of the first wave. We're going to kill
yeah.
those books.
But and, they were trying
but
new
at least
characters.
It was, yes,
this guy
yeah,
didn't
plan.
Work, thus this character. Yeah. Automatically, they stopped. And the DCU, they didn't really focus on any characters. And then they had something with these... With these minis, that they were going to just do the minis. But we never saw characters like Shazam have his own book. We haven't seen the Metal Man after Forever Evil.
Yeah, that phenomenal
yeah.
backup story.
Seen, yeah. yeah. We and had all of this. It. They've had all these opportunities to try characters, and then they don't try them. You know, so on that side of the coin, it's their fault. If you're not going to try it, but then they'll bring out, you know, just random things with their... what was that? With Prez and all that, Prez was good, but there were other
but
books.
They didn't.
Came out
they didn't promote
didn't.
Him enough. Like yeah. Omega Man. I read the prequel and I read the first issue. Mm-hmm. I still had no idea what was going on. Yeah. I can't pitch it. I can't tell you what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was a tough one. They need to work so much harder on their promotion. And like someone said in the thing, it's like you're Warner Brothers. You can do national advertising. Look what it did for New 52. It yeah. did wonders. Throw us 1% of your budget on this rebirth or whatever it is. Let's get more new people in. Because that's the problem with Marvel is they're preaching to the choir. They're pitching their books to the people who are already coming in.
Yeah.
Where at least with New 52, that definitely brought in new customers.
Yeah.
That proved that it can work.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Are they doing that now with After Secret Wars, a lot of this marketing that they were
I really
for?
Haven't seen any marketing outside
either.
Of comics. Or outside of the comic websites and stuff, but I know
I
when
know
they did New 52, it was national.
I'm always surprised that with all the comic book shows we have, that there's not some sort of, like, commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the book.
Why not
or...
a little thing to see the continued adventures of
yeah.
Green Arrow go
Never
to your local
anything.
Comic shop? No, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Especially
but my guess
with,
is because...
with S.H.I.E.L.D., where
yeah.
the company owns the station and they own the
yep.
show... It, it's
yeah,
like a no-brainer.
Really
to see more of
air.
This...
Or CW is owned by Warner Brothers.
Or little things yeah. like...
They just need to get their acts together.
They can refer to a mission
mm-hmm.
over and over again. And then if you want to see the mission, pick it up now. Yeah. You know.
That I kind of don't want them to do.
You don't want to tie in that.
Yeah, I don't
but
want
they
to,
could have a book just for that,
they
though.
Can go too far in that direction.
Absolutely.
But
I
like the idea of... To read more, or, you know, to see more of, you know, these heroes in action, go to your local comic book show.
Like,
not
the
wait
Supergirl,
for the next movie.
Yeah.
That new Supergirl series, which just launched, that kind of lives, from what I understand, lives in the same universe as the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect one that where they should, during the
yep.
show,
yeah.
plug
yep.
it. But.
Well, I don't know what it was in previews, because you were showing that on the side it said Cinematic Universe or something like
yeah.
that. But if even if they have a separate line, a wave of books, like four or five of them that are take place, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the TV show. And as Colin said at the end of the episode, if you want to see more of this, you can go to your local comic shop and do this. They can bring that book out. There's nothing stopping them. It doesn't need to directly tie into the regular comic
Marvel
book
universe,
world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it could still sell a different audience. Mm-hmm. It's just they have all opportunities that I don't think they try. They just bring it out. They're just like, well, this could be cool. I think it's a lot because I've said it a long time. I think there's a lot of fanboys just running stuff. And they go by the fact of, well, it could be cool if we tied this together with that. Okay, let's do it.
Right, but if you DC, which thrives on the multiverse concept to begin with,
yeah.
There's no reason why they can't do that.
Yeah.
Because at the Arrow TV show with Flash and Vixen, that is one separate universe.
DC could do it. Great. But
yeah.
How
Marvel just doesn't rely as much on the multiverse concept.
How well does DC deal with their multiverse now? I mean, they had a whole story. They have a big map. They have everything. And they haven't done anything with the multiverse. Besides Earth 2. They've had all these opportunities.
Multiversity was awesome.
Yeah. But it gave you that...
I'll let you know when I finally figure out what the hell I read.
Flash is doing more. The show Flash is doing more than multiverse.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The only thing that's really focusing totally on the multiverse is Geoff Johns and Justice League, because Geoff Johns can write a DC book, but you just don't have those people that are structuring
out. Yeah, but everybody can't. Geoff Johns can't write 30 books.
Well, here's the thing, and that's what I was telling Colin the other day. I said, Geoff Johns needs to be their chief creative guy. He should be the structure of the place, but he can't. Why? Because he's focusing on totally TV.
I think it comes down to Geoff Johns must be cloned.
We need more Geoff Johns, yeah.
Well, if the multiverse was real, they could grab another Geoff Johns.
Just Geoff Johns from that. Or if it dealt with Secret Wars, all we have to do is cut one in half and throw him, you know, with Reed Richards' super arm into a Franklin Richards bubble universe.
Okay, moving on.
Yes, that's the time.
Way to kill it, Adam.
Somebody had to kill it.
Okay, so now we had some questions.
Questions.
So there was one from Zach that we let go last week because it was just the two of us because nobody else showed up.
Just the two of us.
So he had two questions. First one, is Secret Wars the best Marvel event since the days of Infinity Gauntlet? Yeah, Secret Wars had terrible delays, and that certainly counts against it, but you can tell Hickman loves the Fantastic Four. This event not only wrapped what started in New Avengers 1 several years ago, but it ties all the way back to Hickman's run on Fantastic Four way back in 2009. No, I don't think it's the best Marvel event since Infinity Gauntlet.
Not only that, I think the things that he pointed out kills his own argument.
Yeah.
If you got to go back 6 years to understand what you're reading today, you did something wrong.
Well, I mean, it's nice that he played the long game and stuff, but my problem is...
The story has to stand on its own.
Right.
Well, were those things essential, or were they just little, like...
Probably not essential, yeah. Like, the New Avengers one was just a little Easter egg-y.
Yeah.
I had problems with Secret Wars, although we didn't talk about it last week. No, but just... I felt too much happened off-panel for such a big book. A lot of the things you didn't actually see. And I just don't know how well it wrapped up to someone who, I've never read comics before. Let me come in and read this book because they're promoting the heck of it and everything.
Yeah, that's
and you're
going
to get to the end.
For someone to start off
and it, for me, it was little things like, what did Franklin do in that series? I don't remember Franklin Richards other than that first issue where he found the spaceship. And then all of a sudden at the end, he's the creator of worlds.
He kind of meditated above Galactus throughout that entire series, and that was it.
Right, but how, reading that, what makes you think he has the power to create a universe?
Well,
there was nothing to show and indicate, especially since it took Doom with Molecule Man to be able to do it, which I don't think
that
how
goes,
Doom had
that
power
goes
to
back
do it either.
To, that goes back to his question, or part of his what he was saying, was that Hickman's been writing this character, Franklin Richards, as being this for a little while. So Hickman's run, he was trying to play back up the whole that he had this power and it was a reality altering and he could create things like that in the universes. There was a whole arc about like a him and his sister coming from the future into to talk to him and stuff like that. So, yeah, he did. But how many people are going to remember that long into that to know?
Yeah. No, I'd agree. I'd say no. I liked Civil War. I liked AVX better than
I did
Secret Wars.
Yeah, I think I liked House of M.
Yeah, House
AVX.
Of M was good.
Spider-Verse, Original Sin.
Okay. No, not
Original Sin.
I was just, yeah, he was when he said Spider-Verse, I knew what he was doing.
Scuba Steve, he's a quality character,
nobody
but
he says the worst of them.
But yeah, I don't. I mean, it was a nice big event. I just don't know. I mean, clearly, it's not going to have any lasting impact on anything since they've already moved past it before it ended.
Well, and the way it was structured, like tie-ins aren't bad. I don't have a problem with that. A lot of the tie-ins with Civil War, I thought were good, but when there's 50-some tie-ins...
Yes,
and none of them had any weight.
Yeah.
Civil War had, I think, one of the better events that had a bunch of tie-ins with it. Those tie-ins were actually
because I went back...
Like, that was the best
like,
of that...
Amazing Spider-Man. That had five, I think, five issues ran during Civil War, whatever, or four or five, whatever it was. It enhanced the story, but it wasn't necessary. And that's what it should have done.
And with Spider-Man, that was part of the actual series, too. That wasn't just the tie-in. So they were able to tie it in. It was a big universe, you know, story.
That was Aunt May getting shot in those, right?
That was after that.
He was revealing his identity.
That was in Back in Black
back
after.
Black.
Yeah.
I read all that back then.
Which wasn't bad stuff.
And then, back then, things happened. Like, that then led into Cap getting shot as he was being taken into custody. And then after that, you had Secret Invasion, and then that led into Dark Reign, and it affected the whole Marvel Universe. Where I just don't see, we relaunched all new number ones with no real impact at all for anything.
They played it up as if there was going to be a huge impact. With their whole sit-down at, where was it, Midtown Comics? And they sat there and said, this is going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, pizza toppings flying all over the place. you know, it's going to be the big thing.
One topping moved from Tom Brevoort's pizza to who?
Well, Old Man Logan.
And here's the other thing. I was thinking about Zach's question. I'm like... So they
could be a different.
They show you the second read, Ultimate Read, pops up a bit, especially at the end with the other read. What resolved? How did his storyline resolve? Where did he go? What happened? He just kind of didn't appear again.
Yeah,
he didn't carry over to.
He tried.
Well, he did. He's in New Avengers. But it was just in the story. It's like he was doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden,
I didn't understand that scene at all. He was with Molecule Man. They were in that room, and then he turned Reed, the 616 Reed, into like a monkey or something.
And then
Molecule Man was like, "Oh, well, I can do this," and he like chops him up, and he's like in slices all over the place, and that was it. I was like, "What happened there?" An event. You know, you gotta love an event that at the end you read it and you're like, what happened there? And you'll never know.
That's how I felt most of the time reading.
Most of that book. Secret Wars had, like, moments that were, like, at the beginning I was kind of into it. But that's kind of how Marvel events work for me. At the beginning I'm kind of into it. Towards the middle I'm like, what's going on?
Then a little bit
towards the end I'm like... This is getting better, and then the end, you're just like, what just happened?
Yeah.
The one thing you can say about the Secret Wars event, just the main book, not talking about delays, it was enjoyable.
It wasn't, yeah.
Other events that they've had recently were not enjoyable. Mm-hmm. They may have started off enjoyable, but they became really, you know, something you just had to kind of drag yourself through by the halfway point.
Can we
point.
All just admit... We're in an abusive relationship with Marvel.
No, well, here's
the
thing.
We're in an abusive relationship with a lot of publishers.
But with Marvel...
Well, no, Marvel and DC. I don't know if we're not in that relationship with Image and Valiant.
I have with DC is they're not always saying, well, we're going to change. Marvel's constantly rebooting, so they're always, I'm going to change. It's going to be different this time. Six issues later, we're right back in the same place.
The pad will be all new, all different.
For me, this is...
Come on, baby.
No, you know what?
I ain't going to do nothing.
Come on. In the back of the hand now, not the front of the hand.
Yeah, for me, what happens is I just slowly, every event, start dropping more and more. That I'll keep going for a little bit on stuff, but now I'm down to the point where I'm getting, like, I think two Marvel
left. Yeah, there's nothing left to drop.
So it's a slow, like, progression that you make. You don't make it all at once that you're just like, I'm going to get rid of all my Marvel books. Secret Wars. I mean, some people do. They'll come in here, I'm sure, and they'll just be like, this event sucked. I'm done with Marvel. But usually it's like
Kyle already said that.
Yeah. Some people, it takes a lot longer for them to do.
So now that horse is dead. What's the next question?
Next question. Basically, he's talking about all new Hawkeye, and he's really not liking the new run. He really liked Fraction's run, but he really does not like Lemire's run. It goes on and on and on. But he says, do you ever regret buying a book after something really drastically changed? I don't really know how to answer that. I can't.
He
was explaining how Hawkeye changed in tone.
Yeah.
Like for you, I already know the answer, and it was a vegetative injustice.
Yeah, but I fixed that problem pretty quickly. I bought two issues and then
and dropped it.
That was enough.
Yeah.
So Wonder Woman, it changed drastically. I don't regret buying it, but like Batgirl changed drastically. It just wasn't for me anymore, so I stopped.
Yeah.
I feel like if I listened to Colin and gave Wonder Woman one more shot and then one more shot, I would have been able to strongly say that was my answer because I would have regretted it. Very much so, and resented Colin for it. And then he would be my abusive relationship partner.
Like, we stand on guard? Come on, you're four issues in. It's only six.
It's not that book changed, but I did regret that.
I think it did change, but it just suffered from a weak ending. Harley Quinn was a book like that for me when they introduced the gang of Harleys. It was like, this...
But you're okay with Rainbow Deadpools. Okay.
No, I'm not. No, I brought that up. I think was my review of the last Deadpool book was Deadpool fights Madcap. Moving on,
it's Rainbow Batman's man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
six pack.
It Deadpool's another one where it's not what I started liking, and but it's probably the one book I hold on to because it's I think the only Marvel book I'm buying right now. Unless you just want me to drop all my books, Colin.
No,
I didn't think so.
No. Okay. So now, anybody else?
Dave, any?
Dave?
I can't think of any examples, but I don't think I would ever regret buying a book just because it's different in the moment.
Do you regret buying Afterlife with Archie now that they've drastically changed and stopped publishing it?
Maybe.
But even there, you enjoy it for what it was.
I mean, it's sort of like I regret something because my eyes burn when I read it or something.
There's got to be something that's drastically changed so much.
Nothing's been that bad.
Nothing has changed that you're just like, this is completely not what I was reading before. I'm not into it. Nothing like that.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
I guess what it really comes down to, have you ever had a situation where you're like, I got one. I guess Aquaman. Because Aquaman, I kept saying, it's going to get better. It's not bad. It has promise to it, and it hasn't.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. I admit it. I was wrong. Yeah. And I regret doing it now, but now it's so close to someone new coming on that I'm not going to just suddenly stop.
Wasn't there rumor that Jeff Johns was coming back for that?
I think it's going to be something with Justice League.
Okay.
Because Dan, isn't it Dan Abnett? Yeah.
That could be okay, though. Mm-hmm. That could be decent. For me, it's the entire Ultimate Comics line. I mean, with its sudden... They took a really drastic change in what they were doing with Ultimatum, and it ruined the entire thing for me. And, you know, I ended it completely.
Yeah, so. Maybe Ultimates 2 for me.
Ultimates 3 was the worst one. That was the one with the weird bullet and the whole incest relationship with Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
And Pietro, and it just that. Then Ultimatum came out. That whole thing just went downhill. So right. That was it for me.
Okay.
What about you, Colin?
I can't really think of anything.
You love everything.
Yes, I love everything.
He doesn't read enough to be able to have one.
Yeah. There you go.
He only reads the number ones.
He takes like 100 books, reads like two of them.
Halfway through this book, the artist changed. I really regretted.
Okay, James has a question. He has two questions as well.
What? No.
One of them I think we're saving for next week, though, aren't we?
You want to save that? Sure.
He said we should okay. Let it marinate for a little bit.
Okay, so his one is...
I prepared an answer.
Too bad. Foolish. Keep it. With the recent announcement of Bloodlines coming back at DC, which is in the new previews, I was wondering if there was any comic events crossovers from any publisher that you would like to revisit.
If anybody says anything Marvel, I'm going to kick them in the head. Yeah, we just did that, and it didn't work well.
What have we not done that with Marvel, though?
I'd really like to see them redo, like, kind of a take on Planet Hulk.
He could go back. No, we can't. Yeah. The planet's gone.
But I want to see him change up to where it's just like a whole planet of Hulks.
Oh.
And get this, you have Steve Rogers and Devil Dinosaur.
No!
Wow. Mm-hmm. I would buy that.
Yeah, and they're
you
trying to make
will?
They're trying to make it to the Red Hulk's kingdom to get back Bucky Barnes. So it's literally Planet Hulk.
Why aren't you writing this stuff?
I'm not talented enough, Adam.
It's like anybody could write this stuff, though.
I can't really think of any events that need to be redone or revisited off the top of my head.
I'd like to play back in Flashpoint a little bit, but...
Yeah.
That's... I kind of thought that they were going to do that with Convergence, mm-hmm. but that wasn't how they handled it. Which, you know, and that's fine, but I would... There was a lot going on there that they could have played around with more.
So didn't the Earth die at the end of that book?
It did, but... Yeah. So, but what got to that point? Like, there was other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
More Batman than anyone else that you could have played around
with.
Even
before. Like a prequel to Flashpoint, where you saw the stuff going on, you know, what made that place the way it was.
Yeah. I mean, because Superman didn't get out. But, like, I would like to have seen, okay, what happened, you know, with Superman? Yeah. Like, did he eventually normalize? But, you know, the whole planet was destroyed, so that didn't happen.
Well, you could have a book where it's Thomas Wayne. And, like, his run as Batman.
Yeah, no, that one's mm-hmm. the easy one to do.
Or even that Justice League would be an interesting, with the, you know, how they could piece that
Cyborg
together.
Cyborg and, well, Cyborg's
still well, no, but,
Cyborg,
like, the Aquaman, you know, the angry Aquaman, you know, the Wonder Woman, you know, I just think that could be, you know, the scrawny Superman, that could be an interesting way to see how they might do that.
That would be the best one.
Yeah.
Well, as you said, you can't say anything with Marvel because we saw that. Look how that happened.
Yeah. And the key word there, he said revisit, right? Not reboot or redo. Okay.
Yeah. But, like, I never read Bloodlines. I never really read any of those 90s DC events, so I can't really... And I, like, Zero Hour, no, because that was confusing as it was. At least I'm remembering the tie-ins through the comics, the
you
actual
really
five-issue. Yeah.
Some of the Elseworld stuff would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Gotham by Gaslight stuff.
I'd love
that
to see more.
Cool.
I'd love DC
to do Elseworlds again.
Because it's just, people
some
love that
books.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Red Sun. Yeah.
You know, but there is a Marvel book that they did with Secret Wars that I would like to see done better, and that's Old Man Logan. I'd like to see What, you wouldn't like to see Old Man Logan?
Well, there's one right over there, Adam.
Just came out
today.
This week.
No, not that. I want to see...
And the one from Secret Wars was garbage.
That's what I'm saying.
It was garbage.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't...
Garbage.
I don't want the garbage Secret Wars.
Wait, how
I
do you feel about that, Josh?
Garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage.
I want to see a real
sequel. It was
garbage
because it was pointless. Yeah. The art was great.
Uh-huh.
It was such a...
it was a piece of
bait
crap.
And switch.
It was a crappy book. I want to see a real sequel of Old Man Logan, where right after the Mark Miller run, he does another book. I think that would be cool to see more from that universe. You know, because there's more, there has to be more across the United States going on. You know.
So you want to revisit that time.
That time.
You went Fallout with Wolverine.
Yeah. Now what?
No, that's it. And then we'll leave the next question till next week. Sorry,
whatever.
Pat.
God. Yeah,
so
you prepared for something, and
I'm sorry.
Who wants to start talking?
That's all I have. I've done my rant.
You do.
Yeah.
I want to talk about with books. Well, two of my books, I don't think anybody's going to care about them.
Then don't talk about
them. No, I'm talking about them because I don't think anybody here is going to care. I picked up Adventure Time Ice King.
Don't care.
I know. I know you don't. It wasn't.
You should care the most.
Yeah, you're the one who's selling this stuff.
I don't watch cartoons. I'm sorry. But
you're still selling
48
them.
Years old.
Yeah, I know.
You don't watch any cartoons? There's not a single, like, animated thing that you will ever watch?
Not that I won't ever watch, but it's just...
Colin likes
I don't
Columbo.
See myself sitting
Columbo
at home on good. The sofa watching
He does like Columbo.
We watch
when
it.
When I got
it's
in here
good.
Last
no, no,
Wednesday,
typically,
he had Columbo
I,
on.
Well, one, I do enjoy Columbo, and I do the Columbo podcast. But the problem is, that day, we were watching something on Hulu, and all of a sudden, it then...
You listen to the Columbo podcast.
Right, but
okay.
You watch the.
You do it, I was like,
no, whoa.
You do a Columbo podcast?
No.
It's all himself.
But, no.
Then he listens to it.
But so he we're watching, and whatever we were watching ended, and then it went on to something else that we didn't really pay attention to, and all of a sudden it went on to like some Hulu original, and they're dropping F bombs and stuff. It's like, okay, I don't have enough time to really pay attention to what's on the TV.
Yeah.
So I went to. Netflix. Well, what does Adam put on? Star Wars Clone Wars. I'm like, no, I don't want to watch. And it was really loud. And I'm like, no, I don't want to watch a cartoon, so I went to something safe. And I know Columbo's not going
to
be dropping any F-bombs.
Who knows what R2 was saying at that time. We don't
know. And it's something that your customers would really be into. Columbo. It's no new demographic.
I told him, I said one day I put on it. He laughed. I put on Adventure Time.
Yeah.
These kids stood here, and they just watched it, and their parents just walked around the shop. I was like, there you go. Problem solved. But Adventure Time Ice King number one came out.
Break.
It was not exactly what I was expecting, because this character...
There was no Adventure Time in it. There was no king.
Where is your potty break?
No adventure. Time didn't exist.
That's we're going to be saying that's a podcast before you can get back here.
Shut up.
Low blow.
I mean, well,
pain.
Low blow. You can
pain.
Walk with us.
Shut up.
Adam, take him to the bathroom.
No.
We need to get him like a Professor X chair.
Or a catheter.
See, at least I'm saying you can pee on your own, just not walk.
This is podcast gold.
And the return of mean-spirited jokes.
Podcast gold in the catheter. Okay.
To me, my
That's not the bathroom, Colin.
Okay,
he's
so Ice
he's
King.
He's having trouble getting the word. Ice King, you know, whoever's familiar with the Adventure Time, there's a little bit more of a mythology behind it because it's like a post-apocalyptic world. And Ice King is one of these characters that he lived in the time before the apocalypse. And you were kind of expecting this story to be, because it's like the untold story of the Ice King. You were expecting to see the story of him living before the apocalypse or during before, you know, the main story. It wasn't that. It was about him trying to find his penguin. So I was a little disappointed in this book just because of that. I was expecting a little more. Mm. Is it not... It's... As a tie-in goes to the Adventure Time stories, I haven't liked a lot of the tie-ins. I will say, though, that this one matches the main book and the way it feels when you're reading it. It has the same kind of feel as the main book. So if you like Adventure Time... This probably will be a pretty fun book for you, but it isn't exactly what I was expecting it to be. For the next one, I'm sure Dave read this, Star Wars number 15.
I didn't read anything last week because I just got it today. But
do you want to talk about it? Or, I mean, do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah,
or,
go ahead. It's fine.
Yeah.
So Jar Jar comes back.
No,
don't talk about it.
I really like this. Yeah, don't talk about it just
okay,
because
it. It's okay,
I really like this okay, this good. One. We've had two books like this, this being one of them, dealing with Obi-Wan Kenobi living on Tatooine.
Okay, I heard this was an Obi-Wan story.
Yeah,
again.
It's an Obi-Wan story. Okay. It takes place right after the last one did, where he was stopping those gangsters from Jabba. Jabba's gangsters or right. whatever, and they right, were trying to, I think they were going to kill Luke or something. I don't know. I forget. It's been a while. But,
And you just want to go to the Tashi system.
Yeah, that's all. This one goes back a little bit. It shows you a little bit about, like, he was doing that Beggar's Canyon, racing in Beggar's Canyon, because it's Jason Aaron. He's telling it as a fan fiction. He messes up his ship. He takes it back to Uncle Owen. Uncle Owen is just really, you know, peeved about
being
this
Uncle
because,
Owen.
Yeah, because he's just like, we don't have the money for this, and exactly. Even though grow strong bones, Uncle Owen didn't want to pay the money. He was mad because he was down on the speeder. There was a whole thing about it. But the whole thing with Obi-Wan is while he's staying on Tatooine, he basically kind of watches from the shadows of what Luke's doing to kind of protect him from, you know, what could happen. So he's still kind of being kind of a father figure, just not, you
how
know, right
is,
front of
how
him.
How old is Luke in this?
Luke,
is he,
I think he's about the same age as he was in that. I'd say he's about 10 to 12 years old.
Does he look like Anakin running around?
No, he doesn't. But he... Because
that was an intentional choice.
The
art-wise,
I don't think you'd like the art. Because it reminds me of what you think of Darth Vader, where it's kind of has this almost kind of realistic kind of look to it, where it's... you'd have to see it, but it had a really odd art. But knowing that... Luke wants to win a race in order to get the parts to do the or to get the money back or something. But he needs some of the parts.
Ended up in slavery.
Exactly.
Where's Watto?
So Uncle Owen doesn't want to give him the parts, and Obi-Wan overhears this, and Obi-Wan takes on this job for the Jawas in order to protect them from sand people. They've had issues with sand people, and he does in order to get certain things, some money. And some to get the box of parts. And this scene I didn't like because it was, again, one of these fan fiction-y like scenes where Uncle Owen is with the Jawas and he's looking for droids to buy. This might sound familiar. And he asks the guy, you know, do you have one that speaks Bocce? And I thought about it to myself. I was like, how long is Uncle Owen going to take to buy a droid that speaks Bocce?
Well, maybe he bought one. I mean,
maybe this is, he's going to buy one.
The environment can't be good for droids.
Especially ones that speak Bocce. But that part I didn't like. He goes and the Jawas bring the parts to him. And Luke thinks that Owen bought them for him, and Owen knows exactly where he comes from, came from, and he went and told Obi-Wan, you know, stay away from him because he's my responsibility. I'm not just, you told me to protect him, but the thing is, I'm protecting him from like the likes of you. What I like about this book,
damn fool Kenobi on some adventure,
and that's what it was. But thing I liked about this book is it would be nice to have an Obi-Wan Kenobi book. Not this Obi-Wan Anakin book, but where... not to say that that was a horrible book, but the thing about it is that's another character where we have
a post-Clone Wars, pre-New Hope.
Yeah, where he's on Obi-Wan. Tatooine. What was he doing in that amount of time? Till Luke was old enough to meet him.
He was just chilling.
Yeah, that was it.
He was looking
like the cover.
Like a weird, mixed-up version.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
It does look like they kind of smashed together
Alec
Guinness and Ewan McGregor.
Yeah,
it does.
But I think they could have a book like that, and it could be fun. And I think this is a good experiment for them to be doing with these two issues to say if people are receiving it well, bring out a book of that.
Question for you Star Wars readers.
Okay.
Are any of you excited for this Poe Dameron book?
No.
Comes out.
No. Because
it seems
I don't think the
concept is pointless. Find out how he found the dude with the map fragment.
Yeah, why do I care?
Why do we care? Well, you already know.
The
he
thing
found
is, they're
the
not going to want to give away anything that they could make a $1 billion movie on. So
they really need
gonna...
this book, though. I mean,
it just seems pointless.
Yeah, even if they do, if they could tell more of a story with him that they don't, why bring it out?
Well, that's the other thing.
But why
I
bring
mean,
out characters like that's the panel that I just didn't like. I was
like,
it looks like
a
fake.
Children of Corn.
Yeah, it was a really weird.
And Uncle Owen
is creepy.
Yeah, Uncle Owen looks like the brother from There's Something About Mary.
There's something weird about Andy it Richter. Where it almost looked like
Andy Richter.
Andy Richter is Uncle Owen. The thing about it is. It looks like they took, like, they found a kid on, like, a photo site.
Stock photo site.
He traced them and then put Luke's hair on him or something. Yeah. It looks very traced. It looks too real.
This isn't Greg Land, is it?
It's Mike Mayhew.
It just, I don't know, something about it looked really odd. But the idea of the story.
It kind of looks a little Children of the Corn to me.
Let's look all along.
Play with me.
But, I don't know, I think a Kenobi book could be an interesting thing, seeing what he was doing at that time. And that's why I kind of like that, that book. Robin, Son of Batman. This book has no direction anymore. I don't think they know what they're wanting to do with it.
You know what my notes are on this?
What?
That whole thing read like the damn cave in Empire Strikes Back. You take only into that cave what you bring in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty much what it was. Someone was watching Star Wars and was like, you know what? I'm going to write a Robin story like that. And that's what it turned out to be.
That's... But the whole thing is, every issue is about this whole...
The year of penance.
Yeah, and I thought that was over because it turned out that was a bad idea, remember?
Well, when he came back...
That's what Talia said.
Yeah, I thought at the end when he left Talia and then said he was going back to Gotham,
yeah.
I thought that was going to be the end of this. Now, what it seemed like happened, though, was, and I could be wrong, this whole thing was taking place in the past. He was just telling Alfred about what happened. Which is fine, but, you know, move on.
It's time to move on.
Yeah, let's, you know, deal with the aftermath of Robin War. Hey, how about this? Yeah. How about getting your father to know who the hell he is?
And that's, that's the whole thing. I don't know why we didn't just jump into a story after Robin War was over, why we had this weird filler of another object that they were taking to this weird temple again. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, this book is repeating itself over and over again. I think it's just lost its direction. It's at 8. You know, it should be getting somewhere else by now.
Yeah, something should be happening.
So, but that's basically what it's about. He was telling a story with Alfred about taking an object back to a temple and,
his worst fighting. Fears. Yeah,
his worst fears.
To fight it, yeah.
And that was it. So, nothing really exciting to say about it. So, Tokyo Ghost, number 5.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah,
it was really brutal.
So he in the last issue before this, I forget the guy's name because he has two names.
The guy that's plugged in all the time.
Yeah, that's
Teddy.
Teddy. Yeah, Teddy goes back and he basically hooks up back into his thing because he thinks that's what he needs to do in order, you know,
without tech he's weak.
Yes, and that's what he feels like. And he becomes, what is this, lead?
Lead dent. Lead but dent. Davey Trauma
is
controlling his brain.
Hacked into him, yeah.
That's the guy from the first issue?
Yeah. In order to take over this oasis, or whatever it
Tokyo.
Is. Tokyo.
Tokyo,
yeah.
No tech, all nature.
Yeah. And the leader, I forget her name, too, she was stabbed in the last issue.
Like Kasumi or something like
that? Yeah, something like that. I think that's right. She was stabbed. She's about ready to die. And she basically gives leadership over to the girl. Wow, I can't remember anybody's name in this book.
Debbie.
And she... it's a good thing you're here.
I'm here.
I don't remember anybody in this book.
Did you read this book?
I read the book. I just don't remember names of people. I don't remember the names of people coming here either, so... she gives leadership. She gives her a sword.
So she gives her leadership because, like her, Debbie has not been influenced or seduced by the tech at all.
Yeah.
She's remained pure.
And they made a big point of that throughout a lot of these issues that she has been.
And we found out that this, you know, the leader was part of this, research project or experiment where they're trying to develop a weapon to use in war that would essentially be, you know, like an EMP to take out the enemy's tech and also be able to communicate on a very base level with nature so that way you could take away the enemy's resources as well.
but she instead used it to block out tech in their area and, you know, communicate with, you know, nature and make it thrive in Tokyo. And that's she's why actually, she's the actually the EMP. Her, you know, body is what powers this EMP that's inside of her, and it's all the serum, and the serum was inside the sword. That's why she has a sword to
So I don't... The thing I didn't understand, though, is, like, if she goes, does Tokyo survive? Like, it would it thrive like it was?
Well, because the
nature... she was the important...
The nature aspect wasn't artificial. Like, she just told it to grow.
Yeah.
And then it grew. It's not like it was only there being fed by her on a constant basis. She was just keeping it from, you know, withering away.
Yeah.
But the EMP went away, as we saw, and all the shit that happened because of that.
Yeah.
Once she died.
Yeah. Basically, the whole town they were living in went up.
Well, yeah, because Davy Trauma got Lead Dent to torch everything and wreck havoc. And Lead Dent can take a heck of a lot of abuse.
Oh, yeah, he was getting arrows at
him. Davy Trauma kept, like, making his adrenaline increase.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, that spear right through the chest.
Yeah.
All the way through, and still was going strong.
And then, well, and the leader of the village who passed, she had a child, and the husband, he, like, grabs his head and just crushes it. So he had a lot of strength there at that end of that. A lot more than they've shown yet. And then Debbie hid the kid in some sort of like
bunker
of some sort. So there was a lot that happened in this issue. Yeah, I mean a lot, and it was good. It
ends in a pretty big kind of, you know, cliffhanger moment where Dent set this bomb to go off, and she wouldn't leave. And even though he was under the, you know, control of Davy Trauma, he was still kind of fighting it whenever it was, you know, whenever she was concerned. And finally, she decides to inject herself with a serum to hopefully stop the bomb, but the bomb still goes off. And as it goes off, we see this army of, you know, tanks and vehicles of war right outside the edges of of the, you know, city. Or
as if this was like their whole plan.
Because the one
they
guy,
were all ready for it.
The one dude from the first issue sent them there, or said, you know, you still have to do this for me when you go there.
Yeah, that's what he,
and they were ignoring him, but...
But I think they were thinking that they were going to stay there, that he was going to become
weak,
he was going
to
inject himself. This all was part of his plan of... because right when all this goes down, then they go in. Well, they knew it through working... Because he's working... That guy from the first issue you were talking about was working with Davy Trauma.
Yeah.
And once that went down, then Davy knew, then he knew, then that was when they were ready to take over that area.
Yeah. But just a brutal, gut-wrenching issue. And
the way
it ends, it looks like a lot of people are dead. I imagine they're not. Yeah. Not everyone, but still, heck of a cliffhanger. And it's taking a short break now.
Yeah.
So.
For like a couple of months, I think it's said.
Yeah. That's... I mean, it's the thing.
A couple months I could live with, but if it's like 6 months,
it might
be, like,
be 6 months.
I think no. Well, it might be at the end of the book.
Because
they did
I
say
think
it was
now,
going to be back in March, or March.
Isn't it going to be about time for Murphy to start working on the second volume of Chrononauts?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Which that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really good book. I've really liked this book. It's one of those books that Colin had on the rack that I was up front at the counter that I was just like, I'll pick this up. It looks like an interesting idea. It had nothing to do with you.
It's just the art's gorgeous, and Rick Remender does sci-fi really, really well.
Yeah. And it just, it's been good since the first issue. And the art is just great. The full spreads I just love. But yeah, I'd pick it up. And Batman 48. This was my favorite book of the week. I love this issue. Bloom. There's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in this issue. Stuff that I didn't know
Bloom
could actually
do. Bloom was terrifying in this issue.
Yes. Yeah. He was pretty messed up.
Giant carrying around Gordon.
Yeah. He picks up Gordon. He's walking around the city. Basically giving them a speech of kind of... I guess his idea is rebuilding Gotham in this new way, or basically destroying it. He didn't really give it, because he plants seeds all around.
Yeah.
And according to what he says, you can feel them. You can feel where they are, kind of like a radar in your head, that they're somewhere. And all you have to do is create a small incision into your bloodstream, put the seed in, and you'll generate some sort of power, which is what they kept saying throughout the throughout this entire arc.
Yeah.
They've been talking about these seeds being able to do that. And that was his thing, you know, do that. And the beginning part dealing with the Joker, though, his conversation of sitting there and talking to him at that park bench and Joker not remembering who he was.
Well, but that's just it. I didn't get that impression. I almost got the impression Joker knew who he was, knew who Bruce was, and was trying to push Bruce into remembering.
He said he don't be who you were before.
Right, so he knows who Bruce is.
He didn't want him to come back.
No, I don't. See, that gets...
Then again, the only reason...
That gets into Batman mythology, though, of, you know, would the Joker exist if Batman wasn't around? And maybe that's why he tells him that, because he doesn't want to go back to being the Joker.
Yeah.
But that's such an un-Joker-like comment.
Not necessarily. If Joker doesn't exist, I mean, if Batman doesn't exist, Joker doesn't necessarily have to be Joker. So, he wouldn't have to
But that's
say
what I'm
that.
Saying. Well, that seems so strange, though, for the Joker to be like, I don't want to be the Joker.
But he isn't the Joker. Because Bruce doesn't exist. So he could say that.
But that's just...
I know that's going all over the place, but...
I think the Joker knows he is the Joker. And right now, he can get away with not being the Joker. So, that's...
Yeah,
he'll get it later.
Don't mind me.
Hey, now.
Thank you.
Whoa.
That's not the catch.
Thank you.
Then what is it?
But the part that goes to what really defends what you're saying, though, is the heart when he holds the gun up to him.
Yeah.
Up to his chin. And nobody sees it because he's kind of off panel, something like that. Just really weird scene, but just... This is why I like Scott Snyder. I mean, just that writing. The thing about it is,
writing.
I have not really liked the detective Jim Gordon being Batman and all this, but when Scott Snyder does it and he has a plan for it, it still like tells a really interesting story where you're really looking forward to the next issue. That's what I like about Scott Snyder's writing, and Geoff Johns is really like that, especially right now with Justice League. That's what I look for in a comic book. That's
something
really what I look for.
Something where you're not reading it, just trying to get through it, where when it ends, you can't wait
you're
that much.
You're just like, wow, what just happened? Tokyo Ghost is one of those. It's one of these books that I'm just like, I really want to see. Not as much as
yes
Batman
and no.
or Justice League.
But. Depends on, like, when it ends in a cliffhanger, but...
Sometimes it depends on the person and what they're
most
really
of the issues
doing.
Tokyo Ghost I've loved, but not I haven't ended them and thought, oh, I can't wait for the next issue.
But I don't think there's anybody with Batman or with Justice League currently, especially, that can sit there and just be like, I can wait for the next issue, you know, next year or whatever. You know, it just that's what I look forward to in comics. And Batman really does that. Scott Snyder he does that with this book.
The ending.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay, the scene where the little girl uses the seed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the rec center or whatever Bruce is running there.
Yeah.
For kids,
their
parents
have
been lost because of the Joker. That whole scene, I think that she killed Madison. Bruce's girlfriend. I think that's her name.
And that'll be the trauma that gets
him
back.
That's what woke him up, and I think that's what... Did you see when he came in, he was covered with... He had blood on his face. He had a little bit on his jacket. I think she developed some sort of laser eyes or something like that. Some sort of power that when she did, it killed her.
I almost pictured...
Or
do you remember, I think it was 2 months ago or 3 months ago, the cover for Batman where it was kind of the exaggerated bat?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I picture happening to her.
Okay.
And you know, almost like a Man-Bat hybrid type thing.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That was around Court of Owls time, wasn't it?
No, it was just a couple months ago, I thought. Maybe it was Court of Owls.
Because there was one where he was an owl when he had the claw and everything.
No, that was a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I was just looking at that recently.
I don't know. Yeah, there might have been one that was recently like that. Yeah, I think something happened there, though. I really do. I feel like that's some sort of trauma woke him up, and he was just like, where's the cave? And it was just a really good... Colin, you had a point about that.
It wasn't
that,
where's
though.
The cave, it was take me to my
take
damn
to
cave.
My,
yeah.
Colin brought up a point about that where Alfred is covering his ears, but like he has one hand here, but they hide the other hand, and it should just be a stub on the side.
Yeah.
So how
he's
was
like
he,
this, but there's
what was
no
he
hand,
doing exactly
so like,
there?
Yeah.
Just going like, just plugging it.
Yeah.
But the other arm wasn't up further. That's all.
That scene, though, gave me a problem with another book, though. And that's We Are Robin. And We Are Robin, Alfred, it seems like Alfred is running that We Are Robin team. Okay.
Seems like it.
Then you have this Alfred who was just like, I have to hide him because he can't be Batman. I don't want him to die. So it's easier just to have him not go out there. And then when Bruce is knocking at the door and he starts bursting into tears, closing his ears, I was just looking at that. I was like, this isn't the Alfred. This isn't the guy we think is Alfred from that team. So I don't know where they're communicating on that.
Or maybe,
well. I liked it. That to me.
Maybe Alfred is helping them so that way he doesn't have to go back out there.
That's true.
Or maybe it's not Alfred. Maybe it's
that's
someone from the Court of Owls who was trying to instigate the whole Robin movement.
Point. It's a good point.
There could be more to that that we don't know. Thing is, that Alfred that was sitting there crying about it,
I don't like
upset.
That Alfred.
But then again, that's the Alfred that I know. Mm-hmm. He's the one who protects, wanting to protect Bruce at all costs. But in the end, the only way to protect him if he is going
to
be Batman is
just
by standing
him.
By his side.
Yeah.
And I was just like, just a good issue. This had to have been one of my favorites for a while, and especially of this arc. I just really liked it.
Yeah.
But that's it. Pat?
Okay. Lucifer number 2.
That was good.
Yeah, I liked
it. It was really good.
Actually, the show came out this week.
Didn't
the
see
The show
that.
Is very different. It's also very good. The best part about the show is actually that 1 million moms are protesting Olive Garden because...
1,000 moms?
Yeah, because they're doing...
six soccer moms.
Six soccer moms, that's not really what it is. We're now protesting Pittsburgh Comics Podcast.
No.
No, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, not either.
But it was a really weird issue where they go to hell and Gabriel gets skinned and then somehow he had his skin back.
Because he has some powers back now.
Yeah.
So he grows his skin back. But yeah,
it was like in one panel he didn't have it and the next panel he's fine. There was no like...
No, there was like you could see it was...
I didn't notice it progressing. It seemed like it was there, or it wasn't there, and then it was. Clearly, you know, Lucifer has some history with this woman that's now in charge of hell.
Mm-hmm.
But it also seems like there's a civil war going on in hell.
Yeah. It's a really interesting story that they're setting up. And I think the team up between Lucifer and Gabriel works very well.
Yeah. And I guess now their plan is to go into the Dreamscape.
Yes.
So, now, I've never read any Sandman, so this might be where I get lost, but that's okay.
Colin can sell you Sandman if you want.
I'm sure he can. Let's see. Sinestro. So this was... It's more of the Sinestro Corps versus the Paling. But, you know, Sinestro realizes he needs backup, so he sends a bunch of yellow rings into Earth to try to protect Earth. Superman has one. Wonder Woman has one. Harlequin gets one, Scarecrow gets one. You know, and essentially they got to protect Earth.
You get a ring, and you get a ring.
Did Oprah get a ring?
No, Oprah didn't. But it was almost like that. Because Black Adam had gotten a ring a few issues ago. And Black Adam makes a lot of sense. Batman, they didn't show having a ring.
That's kind of sad.
Well, yeah, I think it was in Forever Evil where he flat out says, what a yellow lantern you would have made.
Yeah, why would he get one?
And then I think in Black,
especially if you really need one to protect Earth, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, it may be, you know, continuity doesn't matter, but it may be that Batman isn't Bruce right now. It's Gordon, and Gordon doesn't put
the fear in people. And it's not quite the Bruce Wayne, so it was when he got one.
Yeah. Maybe this is another book I'm holding on to just because, but I don't know. I enjoy Sinestro as a character, so that might be what does it.
Yeah, he's a great character. I read it during Godhead, and for a few issues after that, I just didn't think the writing was that great on it. The art's fine, but
yeah, it's still Columbine, so.
I'm not a big fan.
Deadpool. So this was Deadpool 2099.
This is kind of your guilty pleasure book all of a sudden, isn't it? Because you were like it. You liked Deadpool way before.
Oh, yeah.
But then this new run you haven't been jumping onto, but you still are getting...
Yeah. So Deadpool 2099, what we find out is it's actually his daughter, but it's not the daughter he's been trying to protect. It's a daughter with Sika, who is the queen vampire demon, whatever.
Is that who he married?
Yeah, that's the one he married. So, but up to that point, we didn't know he had a daughter. So at some point, he has a daughter with her, and she's missing. So Deadpool's daughter, who is Deadpool 2099, keeps Deadpool locked up and watching C-SPAN all the time. And it tries to be clever. Like, it talks about there's a problem with the environment, so they just defund the EPA. And, you know, someone says, well, that's not going to fix the problem. And you know, they say, well... It fixed some problem with, I forget what the agency was, and they're like, no, it didn't fix the problem, it's just you don't know that there's a problem now. So, that, you know, they try to get cute with that. It's an interesting concept, but no. No, just bring back Deadpool. I'll tell you where Deadpool went off the rails, was when...
The all German issue, or the all French issue?
All Spanish issue. No, actually, it was in the last run, I think, or it might have been the run before that, where they split... the older version of Deadpool had multiple voices in his head.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of that. Because what we found out was that other voice was actually Madcap that had been fused into Deadpool by Thor. And it lost some of its humor by doing that. You know, he tries to be... a hero. He's running the Mercs, and that's just not working. That's too much like the Harley Quinn gang of Harleys that I wasn't really enjoying. The fact that they're going to bring this 2099 version in every other issue or every couple issues, I don't see that working, but okay, whatever.
Don't question Marvel. Just go with it.
The only other one I read, it was Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
Oh. I read that.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it. Now, I read the first two issues and then this one all back-to-back because I hadn't read them. So it may have read a little bit different for me than you.
Everything is fresh.
It was fresh, and it's also some of it kind of blended into each other, but... You know, Galad basically had decided in the last issue he was going to leave his family in this paradise to go back to Earth.
Yeah, because he's...
Welcome to Earth.
his mission is still, you know.
I said Earth, not Earth.
I know, just what he said. Right,
I'm not Will Smith.
His mission's not over, so he has to go back and still, you know, protect
The Earth,
protect the Geomancer.
Yeah. And then he has to fight through this gauntlet of, I guess, demons.
Yeah, so it's almost like this paradise is an afterlife, because his family, it's all the people that, you know...
all the children he's had throughout his...
Yeah, the children he's had throughout history, his wife from years and years past. So he leaves them and almost has to, like, journey through hell to, or some form of hell to get back to the real world. And in charge of this, you know, version of hell, there's this giant demon called Humongous.
Yeah.
That's trying to...
Humongous.
Yeah.
It actually reminded me a lot of Groot.
Kind of, yeah.
It kind of looks like a big tree, almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, if your name's Humongous, you might as well look like a big tree.
I guess.
They have him, you know, in a torture rack at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's... what it seemed like to me... you know, because this is my first time reading it, but he has to fight for the right to go back to be, you know, instead of just staying in paradise, he has to fight his way through the... I know where you were going.
I'm staying normal. Okay.
I know.
I'm saying.
I know. It's well past nine, and you're fine. You're taking drugs. You should be looping.
Yeah, and that's you're the one giggling.
That's what I, you know, and even Humongous is like, I built this paradise for you. Why don't you stay? And, you know, and his family is, why don't you stay? Why don't you stay? Yeah. Daddy, please don't go. And, you know, all this to
it's
get
almost
them.
Like it's to reaffirm his dedication to his mission.
Yeah.
Because even when he finally escapes and he's... almost to the door or whatever, the doorway, and you know, the demon gets in front of him. It's you can tell that that's just how it always goes, because he says, you know,
how many times have we done this? Just let me go this time.
Yeah, like I'm gonna get through. Do we really have to go through this whole process?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's good. I really love this book. I love the art. The color really pops. It's just a really awesome book.
The only thing I didn't get, and it may not have been this issue, it may have been the one prior, but I thought it was this one. His son, the one who he doesn't stay with the rest of the family, he's kind of off on his own, just doing archery. And it's like there's 1,000 arrows all stuck in the bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when Galad makes the decision to leave, that's when he finally calls him father.
Mm-hmm.
So that. That was kind of intriguing to me, like, you know, what's going on with this kid? Why, you know, why is he kind of off on his own? Because...
They think they told that in the second issue, why he is distant.
No, they did, but, like, I want to know more about this kid.
Oh, you want to know, like, more of the story of what happened after he was kidnapped?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, why,
So his son, this is his firstborn, and we found out in the second issue that... He was taken by some other, you know, barbaric
cult.
Ruler
yeah.
or whatever. And Galad thought he was dead and then was trying to get him back, whatever. And the kid was raised by this, you know, this other
He said
individual.
He was a king, though.
Yeah, a king.
And treated him like his son and all that, which, you know, okay, great. Mm-hmm. But
so there's a lot of, you know, that teenage angst.
Yeah.
Kind of there. And then they have this big, you know, before Galad leaves, he tries to... connect with him and it's not working, but after he walks away, that's when we find out that there is still some sort of, you know, emotions there from between the kid and him, because the kid finally says father. So
yeah, I think that's more along the lines of that kind of reaffirms what Galad is saying, that he really did try, because he could stay there, he could go the easy route, mm-hmm. but instead he doesn't. He always goes back to his mission.
Yeah, we haven't seen a whole lot of like his very, you know, ancient stories.
Okay.
With Galad. We've seen, you know, bits and pieces here. There were a couple miniseries that took place in the more, you know, ancient or medieval times.
Now, is he in Rye?
He is in Rye, actually.
Because, I mean, he's the Eternal Warrior. I would think he would be able to be in 4,000.
He just recently popped up in Rye.
Okay.
Which, Rye, I don't know if the most recent issue was the final issue or if it's just on hiatus until this next, till Valiant's next event, 4001 AD, which takes place in the Rye, part of the Valiant universe. But yeah, Rye was on a mission to find this Eternal Warrior and found Galad in this, you know, barren castle full of, you know, trophies from his conquests and whatnot, but nothing else. And Rye's kind of, not Rye, but Eternal Warrior's kind of broken down until Rye tells him that the Geomancer is alive and on New Japan, and that's what kind of gets Rye back into action and joins Rye's, you know, band of, you know, revolutionaries.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the Eternal Warrior's a cool character because Valiant tries to tell different stories and different slices of their timeline, and they make it very clear that this timeline is their timeline. It's not, it's, you know, everything does lead to the events that are, that we've seen. So we get to see him pop up at a lot of...
Sure, it has to be actual planning and forethought there.
Yeah.
Well, isn't he really, like, the key to, like, their universe? Like, he's kind of, like, in the middle of everything, in a way. So not everything, exactly, but being the Eternal Warrior.
Yeah,
he's an immortal, basically.
He and his brothers are involved with a lot of stuff, and he's a main...
That's why I always thought he'd be, like, a character that I'd like to pick up a book of, because he just sounds like an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all I have for that. I didn't read it, so
no, that's gone. By. Dave?
Dave?
Well, I didn't read anything last week, but I can mention a couple from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't talk about them last week.
I doubt we did. Yeah.
I'm sure there's something out that we both read. Talk
number three?
Yeah, I read that. Okay. This book really needs to pick up a little bit.
I'm surprised you haven't, because everyone else
good,
I've heard talk about it raves about this book.
I like that.
I just think it needs to kind of... I think it needs to go on, because it's... The one thing I liked is him meeting his brother.
Yeah, that was the one thing...
That's been
this issue, this third
thing.
This third issue ended on the same cliffhanger, kind of, that the second issue did.
Well, then that's what I'm kind of saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of ending on the same stuff, or it's basically, the first issue was about him, it was kind of introduced in it, which was cool, but the second issue was also him trying to solve things on his list. And then the third issue was like, oh, I'm going to finish solving things on my list. That's my problem.
I enjoy the idea
behind the story has been really good. And it isn't a bad book.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that at all.
What you're saying, but I've really enjoyed the character work. And, In this issue, somehow this governor who's running for office gets Huck to come to a black tie party, and to prop up his candidacy, and Huck just doesn't want to be there at all. He calls room service so he could feed the cats outside his window. And then he just has to get out of there, and he leaves, and he gives his room key to two homeless guys that are outside in the alley. And then he's running and jumping trains and cars, you know, to get back home. And that's where his brother shows up.
Yep.
Jumping the cars and trains. And he says... And his brother, of course, his brother's name is Tom.
Of course it is.
And he says, "You." He's and he
I
says,
don't get
that,
it. I'm kidding.
I know you're kidding.
Just silence. We're just like,
and
what a moron!
He says, he
"Get
says,
a clue, clown."
Tom says to Huck, "Do you want to meet Mom?"
Her name's not Becky, is it?
I hope it's not Becky or Jim.
Well, if Mom's name is Jim,
I
was gonna say that.
I know we got trouble.
Yeah,
but I understand what you're saying, Adam. But I've liked the series.
I'm not saying I don't like it. I just want to see more of what's going on with his brother.
That's what I'm
Yeah, hopefully.
See. And I think we...
You're saying Adam's wrong.
Probably could have... We probably could have been there by now. But it has only been three issues.
Well, hopefully it'll kick in the high
Exactly. Now I think it's going to kick in. But it is. It's good. I like it.
Hater.
I like it, hater.
Okay.
Did you pay for that hater aid yet?
Say it three times. Quiet.
How about PhD. Play a hater's degree.
How about the new issue Descender, Josh? 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks. I was like, that didn't come out last week, Dave.
Yeah, we're on Dave's last week.
I'm delayed.
Dave's on Dave time.
Yeah, I read it. But you have to carry this one because it's been 2 weeks.
We have... they're on Tim 21, Tim 22, and Dr. Kwan and Telsa. They're on the ship with the robot resistance. And Andy is on planet Gnish. Nish or Gnish?
Baba Gnish?
Like Gary,
Naki.
Gary Gnu. Looking for Tim, and he finds out. He gets some clues to where Tim is.
Yeah.
And it ends with they're going to the home of the robot resistance, the Machine Moon. So that was a cool panel at the end there showing the Machine Moon.
Cybertron.
Yeah, it looks like Cybertron.
No, yeah, I cannot remember many details about this book. It feels like it was forever ago.
Yeah, but. I don't think a lot. There's a new king on planet Gnish because the king was killed, and his son becomes king. I think it was King Snock. Now it's King Slock.
How are you reading?
Yeah, these are just weird Star Wars.
It's Jeff Lemire, and he puts out a bounty on all the
Boba Fett shows up. It's
on all the robots.
And then Glock,
Jango, and Boba
Snock.
Now we got you. Going.
That's no movie.
If only when Dave starts talking, we get you going.
Poor Dave.
Yeah. But I think I'm ready for Tim and Andy to meet.
Battle Royale.
Yeah. And I don't. Yeah, like I said last time, I think you could go either way here.
Was it last issue where we got to see the flashbacks to what happened before?
Yes,
the, catastrophe on the mining colony.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
That was good. Yeah, that issue was better than this one, I think.
Yeah. But. Oh, that was 2 issues ago. That wasn't the 2 week ago issue.
No, that wasn't the one 2 weeks ago. That was
oh,
the one
okay.
That.
Never mind then. It all
you went too far back.
that was last month. Yeah.
This is why my pull list is too big, Colin. All blends together.
I'm sorry, I'm messing everybody up.
just added it. Just added your
voice.
Cut everything.
No.
Yeah, that's probably bad.
We'll do a Columbo podcast from now on.
Your list needs a cleansing, is what it needs.
That list needs an enema.
Okay, moving on.
Now I'll pick on Pat because Rebels number 10, Pat.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I read that. I was actually disappointed with it.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the first issue I was disappointed with.
Really?
Yeah. So the ending I might be a little bit off on, but it follows a red coat from when he's arrested and forced into the army in England to when he arrives at the colonies and gets killed in battle. And I think it's Seth that kills him.
I think it was, yes.
I think they were trying to bring it full circle.
Right.
But they weren't very clear with that. And
that wasn't very clear, you're right.
You know, it's not that they had to be... You know, showing famous people. That's not necessarily what I was looking for. But they didn't really show you a lot about this guy. Like, I didn't care that he got killed. I mean, the only thing I could say is that he got forced into the army, he got forced over to the colonies, and then got killed. Okay, so what? You could write the same thing about hundreds of guys from Vietnam.
I guess I didn't know, you know, I would assume this is true, you know, that they used, you know, prisoners in their army, the Redcoats. Yeah.
Go to war, go to jail.
Yeah.
That's, you know, time-honored recruiting
provision. I never
what,
thought about
that.
What,
did they use their, when they captured somebody, they recruited them into their own army? Is that what you're saying?
No, you're given a choice.
Yeah.
You either go to prison or you can join the army.
Join their side instead.
Well, no, this guy was, he was arrested in England.
Okay. I get you.
But it ended as if that was the end of the book, which is disappointing.
Yes.
Especially because I thought it was such a good book going through, and I think it ended on a low note.
Yeah.
Not a horrible note. I mean, it was still it was a decent enough book, but it was my least favorite of all of them.
I can understand that, yeah. But the books, hopefully it'll come back or somehow, because the book's just been excellent.
The art in it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
With the exception of this one, the writing, I thought, and it's not that the writing was bad. I just didn't care about the character.
Yeah.
And I get it was more of a one-shot, so you didn't have time to develop the character. But even with, you know, the 22 pages that they had, I don't think they did a good enough job of making me care about this guy. Unless the whole point was, well, you know, he was unfairly thrown into the army and then sent to the colonies where he got killed. But I'm not the audience for that. You're not going to sway me that way. So
yeah, that's a tough thing to do to make you care about an enemy soldier like that, especially the.
Well, you know, this country has the same history of doing it, so it's...
Yeah, yeah. Last one I'll mention, I think, is Back to the Future, number 4. You still reading that? Did you read that, Adam?
I stopped that issue, too, because I didn't... I thought that it would have a bigger story to it. It just seems like a lot of backups.
This one had two stories. The first story was about how Marty met Jennifer... And the second story was
didn't they just meet in high school?
Well, yes, but
this is the biggest problem with prequels. I like what I like. I don't like what I like before it happened.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Enjoy Back to the Future before there was a time machine.
That's why the second
skit on that. When he did comedies, like, do you like Angelina Jolie? Well, here's a picture of John Voight's balls.
Too far, Pat.
No, it really wasn't.
Too far.
No, but that's, I mean,
Dave's
that's the
podcast
thing. I like what I like.
Well, that's why the second story was better, because it told, whether or not you like the story, I don't know what they came up with, but this told the story, second story was what happened to Doc at the end of Back to the Future, when he went to the future.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing, though. Like,
but he went to the future, and he won a classic car contest, and he got a 10% discount on hover conversion.
Oh, that's how he got
for the DeLorean. But 10% discount, it was still like hundreds of thousands of dollars to get the hover conversion.
Where did he have the money to do that?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, shut up and listen.
Whether or not you like the answer.
We're probably not. But
he got so Marty and Biff to rob a bank.
He went back.
He started gambling. He went back and he found this book of almanac.
He said not to do.
He went back to 1938.
Bought an issue.
And what did he buy?
He bought Action Comics number 1.
He bought a bunch of copies of Action Comics number 1.
See, that is not
Shut
what Doc...
Up, really?
That's what happens in the
Doc
book.
Doc Brown wouldn't do that, though. Because some kid, okay, a bunch of kids in this case, could have made
bought
their lives on that one issue. But he came, changed time, went and bought all those books. So that kid never bought that book. That kid just became homeless. Never became anything in life. Yeah. Never sold that book for money. So it's really against
I don't think Brown's rules. That many people that bought it in 1930.
I'm just saying.
Doc Brown's rules. He's established on all the movies.
Yeah. Just don't mess with the timeline. And the first thing he does is mess with the timeline.
Did Action Comics number one at the time sell out?
Yeah, that's a good question. He had to do with,
was it hard to find
the guy on DC's Legends of Tomorrow? Do you play any factor into the future? If not, that it makes no difference. You'd assume everything would, though. Like, everything would tie into how the future is going to.
Yeah. But if the book didn't sell out and they just, you know...
He just picked up one.
They just tore the covers off and sent him back to Diamond.
Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. 120-year-old Collins like, no!
You could have took that a lot further.
I could have.
You did, but you didn't. You keep that in mind.
So that's how he got a hover conversion for the DeLorean.
The whole thing is, I have to go with Pat on this. And not to offend your reading of the book, but in a way, who cares? Like, who cares why he gets the car to hover? The fact is, the car hovers. He went to the future. I think we all lived with that in the movie, that we were like, he went to the future. Obviously, he made the car hover somehow, because it's the future. And then we all moved on.
I figured he just did it himself. He's a smart guy. He built a time machine.
Yeah, I don't think
hover conversion would be that difficult.
I always assumed that when he went to the future, they just had future technology. He made it work.
Yeah.
And he made the car hover.
I just assumed, because we saw he had a briefcase full of cash from different eras. I just assumed money wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Well, that was...
That's all action.
There was like an Easter egg or something where his family was rich.
Yeah, the Doc Brown or the Brown estate.
Yeah.
Took money out of that account?
Yeah, that's kind of what
that time took money out.
I figured that.
Invested it by the time the future rolled around.
Yeah. That would have really messed up the future.
Or when he went back in time in the 1880s, he bought stock in, you know, Wells Fargo or whatever.
Yeah.
And then over time
that was after the hover conversion, though.
That's the beauty of it. It's time travel. Maybe that's where the Brown fortune.
He had to have the hover conversion for that situation to happen for him to get back there. It's all cyclical.
Title of the podcast.
He also meets the Reverse Flash, and then everything goes to hell.
I don't remember when that Obi-Wan and Anakin book came out. But I don't remember ever talking
about it. No one does,
it.
Because it didn't come out on a Wednesday.
Yeah, that was the whole
thing. It was shipped the wrong day, like, and then you were allowed to release it on January 1st.
We were never able to talk about
it. It came out
in
New Year's.
Because, mm-hmm. Because of that whole thing. Did you get to read it?
I did read it, yeah.
What did you think of that book?
He already talked about it. Like,
oh my God, this was 2 hours
an
ago.
An hour ago.
You talk about Obi-Wan and Anakin?
No, I didn't talk about it.
Someone said something about the book. And
these are not the books you're looking for.
In the
we never talked about Obi-Wan.
I don't think it came up.
No, we talked about Star Wars.
Yeah, but it came up, and I thought you started talking about...
Yeah, you gave the whole story where the Jawas gave him the parts.
That was Obi-Wan and Anakin. Wasn't the Obi-Wan and Anakin book. It was all right.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't, but I didn't think it was bad as a lot of people made it out to be.
Yeah.
Or what it was going to be. It had an interesting story. These little minis have been kind of fun, though, as filler to read.
I kind of like the ships on whatever planet they're on. They're kind of steampunkish. And I like the
planet. Basically, it's a planet that doesn't know of the Jedi at all.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
they're like, what the heck? What are
but
Jedi?
They receive a distress call from this planet.
Yeah,
the Jedi do.
This
planet has basically been fighting a war with themselves for a long time.
Yeah,
and when they show up, they're basically like, well, we're Jedi. We got a distress call from you. And they're like, what is a Jedi? And that's how it ended. So I thought that was kind of interesting that this planet doesn't know about Jedis. There's this distress call from somebody who obviously does know about Jedis.
Yeah, it's an interesting premise.
So I thought it was okay. It's been decent, but all of these little minis have been okay.
Yeah.
So. You know, that's kind of the weird thing, because it happened in The Force Awakens, too. But it seems like not many people know or believe in the Jedi as a religion in A New Hope. So 20 years later, and then, you know, 20 years later, no one knows about them in A Force Awakens. That'd be like, you know, 20 years from now, what's Christianity? Don't you guys have history books?
That never has made... Yeah, I don't get that either. Now they're just like, oh, the Jedi, they're a thing? Like, yeah, that was not that long ago.
Yeah.
You know, like, they played them up a lot.
World War II really happened? What?
Yeah, and all these planets knew of them.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the Clone Wars, they should have known altogether who they were. They were all over the galaxy. So, yeah.
That's a good point. It would be like thinking of the Ghostbusters movie as a myth. It really happened?
Well, that's a little bit different.
No, but it's such that the time frame, like, something that happened in the 80s
yeah,
is not far enough removed to where...
The Challenger really exploded? What?
Do you think Jedi were, like, ever, like, went to Jakku or something, you know, in these Outer Rim planets?
I mean, New Tatooine?
Well, but that's the thing. Even then.
Or even Tatooine.
But someone there would have known about it. And I'm not talking about, okay, they may not have believed in the religion. You know, it'd be like, you know, some of the Waco people or something. Like, okay, these people are just nut jobs. But the wars took place. We knew that there was a group of people calling themselves Jedi that fought this war.
They were too big with the government. That yeah, I could see that the Outer Rim some of them wouldn't know about them. I bet the higher ups would be like, oh yeah, they exist because I've been out of the Outer Rim. We've left.
But even Watto knew who they were.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you know,
Jedi mind trick or
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waving your hands.
The thing
like
about
some
it,
kind
it
of Jedi.
Somebody would have known. It wouldn't
even,
have been that
even
obscure.
For thinking like the full. Yeah. Span of time, it would be like thinking of things in World War One or World War Two as being a myth.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That I mean, you know, in two generations or a generation and a half,
especially when you have some alien.
How could they know about, you know, Vader killing killing Palpatine at the end of Return of the Jedi?
But that part they may not know. But they would know who Vader is. It's just, I mean, you may not know every little detail.
You know about the Galactic
Empire. I don't think you could just hear stories.
Alderaan just blew up.
And decide whether or not to believe it or not.
I'm sure there's propaganda posters all over the place.
Remember Alderaan.
But yeah, your turn.
My turn? Well, first one I want to mention is one that we held off from talking about last week because all of us should talk about it. Robin War 2.
Yeah. We did rewatch Robin War 2.
What'd you guys think of that? Because I liked it until the very end.
I don't really get the end.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me.
No, I didn't get that either. Why Grayson would... Well, I get why Grayson would
It didn't even make sense to me
that
Damien would... Go that route.
No.
Damien
is so arrogant, I never take him as the one to take the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't admit that he had to get to the point where he had to do that as the only option.
Now, I could see, I mean, from that, I can see Grayson saying, I'll make the sacrifice.
Even him.
But there, not for that. I would, unless there's something else at play here. It seemed like at first they wanted, you know, kind of their own Batman, and that's, you know, Nightwing in this case.
I don't know why they'd even need their own Batman. They have Talons.
Well, they went Grayson because Grayson was always supposed to be.
Yeah, Grayson was always supposed to be there.
He's the one that got away.
Yeah. It didn't wrap up. It's not that I want everything wrapped up in a nice, pretty little package. But that didn't make sense, and it played against type a little too much. It was almost like there was just something missing to kind of say, okay, well, that's why that happened.
You know.
Grayson just came out this week, so I don't know how that's going to affect that.
Yeah, I feel like it's
got to tie into it somehow. One of these stories has to tie into it to clear that up.
I feel like with Robin War, all the issues were enjoyable, but when you look at it as a whole... It kind of doesn't work.
Right.
So I think it's a big case of where the sum of all the parts is greater than the whole. But...
Yeah, because
It was weird. It wasn't what I was expecting.
I never really understood throughout the series, though, why Lincoln March was, like... He almost seemed like the head of them. Like, the Court of Owls. But in the end, Court of Owls, he poisons the entirety of them.
in order to.
I didn't take anything wrong with that though.
I didn't think it as him being the head. I took it almost as him being the one that had to get his hands dirty and try and put all this into play.
I think he even said that was, I was in the doghouse and you know, promising getting Grayson was how I got myself out of it.
Okay.
So I just took that at face value that that's what he did. But I had a problem with, they were too trusting of him. You know, I mean, I would think if he was it that far in a doghouse, he'd be on a short leash to begin with.
And he wasn't at all.
He was kind of able to operate however he wants. I don't know.
He looked pretty jacked up.
Why do you think Grayson did what he did though? Just to infiltrate him?
Well, I mean, they want you to think he did what he did because they turned Damien's face into a bomb.
Yeah.
So to save Damien's life.
He had to.
But I don't think...
But that's a short-term thing anyway, because he can easily get Damien a message and say, hey, get Bruce to fix this.
Well, Bruce isn't Bruce.
Yeah, but Bruce is going to be Bruce again, everybody knows. Or get Jason, or get Tim Drake to fix this.
And it's... It was leached into his skin. It wasn't, like, just the mask.
Yeah, but there's... I mean, there's all... They're nanites.
But in the moment, it was, join us, or... That. So we'll see long term if he does.
Yeah.
It just. I think what bugs me is, do we really need to, like, keep changing the status quo on Dick Grayson? I'm fine with the Spiral thing. I enjoy Grayson, and I didn't think I would like him not being Nightwing, but I do. But now does he have to be part of the Court of Owls as well?
Yeah, and the fear with that is if they keep. There's an air of mystery to the Court of Owls, and they can very easily overexpose him as a villain if they make him part of it. Like that mystery is what makes them powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Could be interesting though, him infiltrating them in a way. A spiral going in.
That's fine, but I would hold that off for time, and do it slowly.
Well, they're already telling a story with Spiral.
If we are going to see some sort of return to status quo with DC Universe, now's the time to tell this story.
Yeah, I guess that's true, too.
If that's all rumor mill. But.
Yeah. So.
But, I don't know. It was okay.
It was okay, but yeah.
Until the end. I think the end did get a little confusing.
So. Yeah. The fight was cool, though. The big brawl between the Robins and the...
And the Robin?
Yeah. Captain Marvel, number one. So this we see Carol being assigned a mission to lead up Alpha Flight, and it's a 2-year posting on the Alpha Flight space station. So this focuses a lot on her taking on this new role, this new status quo for her, and fitting into to a role that's more of a bureaucrat. Role and less of a, boots on the ground person, and how she's having trouble adjusting to it. She doesn't want to deal with things like, talking about waste management contracts. She wants to be out there with the pilots dealing with whatever threats are there. We have Abigail Brand there as her kind of like second in command. And we find out that she turned down the role as being, in command of the whole operation. The one thing that threw me off, which I guess this could be a change of the new Marvel Universe, is that it seemed like they didn't know each other at all. And at least in the previous Captain Marvel volumes, I thought that they had interacted. And since so many other things have been, just a continuation, I assumed that would, still be in effect as well. Especially when her relationship with Rhodey is still there and, nothing seems to have changed in that regard. But, I mean, the book was enjoyable. I liked it. It was a different take for a Captain Marvel story. I'm not that familiar with Alpha Flight. I think Lytle said that it was definitely not the...
brand new.
What's that?
I thought it was brand new, spinning out of
I think Secret Wars. Alpha Flight is a thing from the past, though.
Well, Alpha Flight used to be, I mean, that was the Canadian super team.
Yeah, and that's what, wasn't he complaining that it had nothing to do with the previous, like, with what Alpha Flight used
right,
to be?
Right, it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is spinning out a secret war.
No, but I think he was saying, why call it that? It has nothing to do with the previous. Yeah.
Right. Because it's banking on a name that people are familiar with.
And we have members like one of the pilots is Puck in there. And
that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just trying to bank on that. And then people are going to go, oh, I love Alpha Flight. Even though it doesn't have anything.
He's guarding Canada now that Alpha Flight's.
Right.
They're guarding everything. They're guarding all of it.
Oh, okay.
Alpha Flight is guarding Earth against any, you know, extraterrestrial threats.
I guess we stand on guard.
So Sword.
Yeah, Alpha Flight is essentially Sword. I don't know why it's taking the place of Sword, and even with Abigail Brand there instead of leading up Sword.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. And there's some conspiracy involved where this giant asteroid was hurtling towards Earth, and the station, they find out that it was actually propelled there from the asteroid belt by an alien ship, and it registered with the same species of aliens that were there renegotiating this waste management contract, and I think there's sabotage involved. But it was good. It was interesting and different. Just I don't... Some of the things, you know, kind of didn't make complete sense, but it was good enough for me to... I'll probably stick around for a few more issues. Poison Ivy, a Cycle of Life and Death, number one.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah, this is focusing on her...
Not too much Harley.
Wanting to be, you know, more back in the scientific community, less being the villain, Poison Ivy.
Right.
Struggling with how to balance that out. She's...
Also being not an eco-terrorist, but fighting eco-terrorists with... plants.
Yeah.
Well, like somebody was trying to steal stuff and she basically, you know, made like the plants grab it.
She went to go find this ancient plant that's 5,000 years old, and these terrorists came and said,
like,
no, this
pirates,
is
like Somali pirates, I think.
You know, that everything there is belongs to them, and using her abilities to kind of combat that. And then at one point when her and Harley are at a bar, and she used the... Was it the same plant, or was it just her...
It was probably just some plant that was there, I guess.
Yeah. I hate to say it, Josh, but is this a vegetative justice?
You just got Dave.
I'm sorry. I really am.
That was that bad. He had to apologize.
But yeah, Harley shows up and talks to going out to a bar, and... Then there's a fight that starts, and she doesn't want to get involved, but then she finally gives in and, you know, uses her abilities and gets involved. So she's definitely struggling with this, the dual roles, and then we find out there's, you know, some of the plants, the plant grew exponentially all of a sudden, and one of her colleagues was babysitting the other plants they brought back. I think they brought back four of these things. So she wants to go warn her, you know, of what could happen or see if everything's all right. And she finds out that the woman was murdered, and I think the plants were... They weren't stolen. They looked like they were killed off. Like, they were just laying there in the ground. The pots are broken. But it was... Yeah. It was interesting. It wasn't bad.
Just wasn't...
It wasn't great.
No.
The art... I like the art quite a bit.
Yeah, the art was good. Clayman's art. There wasn't a lot to the story.
Yeah. Secret Six, number 10. So this finishes up the House of Strangers arc, where you have the magic community wanting to kill off Black Alice because she could bring the end of the world and the end of all these magic users and magic as a whole. And then you have the Secret Six fighting against that, and they're trying to destroy these alabaster pillars which hold these ancient forces of magic at bay. And, you know, the Secret Six are throwing any sort of caution to the wind and just doing whatever they have to do to save Black Alice first, and then thinking they can deal with these ancient evils after the fact. Well, this issue, Superman ends up getting involved and tries to stop them, and they try to take on Superman, who kind of just looks like really? You're gonna try to fight me? And it was good. It was a funny issue. It was working really well until the end. In the end, you had Black Alice, and she's being watched by Scandal Savage, and she convinces Scandal Savage to kill her because she says that it's not worth, you know, all these other lives aren't worth her survival. So Scandal Savage goes to kill her and finds out that she can't be killed. And then we find out that she did die in this car accident that killed the rest of her family, but at that moment she, you know, reached out to this ancient, like, gothic, you know, demon or god, and that's now become her. And she kind of just goes through this portal and ends up with where the Secret Six members are at, and Superman and these other magic wielders who are prepared to take on this final battle. And she just really says, "Oh, I'm fine now. I'm not going to die. You don't have to do this." And then she just disappears, and then she's back in the suburbs. And it was really abrupt and really weird. And I have to reread this entire arc because it kind of didn't make sense that it would end like that. Because it was just kind of, all right, back to normal. So it just a bit out of place. But up until that point, it was really good. And then the last one I'll mention, since we're running long on time here, is another one that that Colin read also, De-Evolution number one.
Yeah, I'm having trouble remembering any specifics. Is that the one where there's a fort?
There is a fort. Okay. So,
they have paper and staples? No, yeah, I mean, the basic premise is they were trying to do something good.
No, they weren't.
Original? No, no, not in the fort, but I mean, originally they were trying to do something good. No? With the de-evolution thing? I thought they were trying to cure something. And it just went horribly
wrong. They were trying to shrink the part of the brain that cares about religion.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Not so good. There was a reason for it. Because so much religious fighting.
They were talking about how it was very much a critique on our modern world and how things have gone. And talking about how we have essentially de-evolved over the years. And we've become more gluttonous and less of a attention span and more dependent on our technology and other tools and more violent, and that we've been devolving for years. And one of the causes behind all this violence and our, you know, out of whack beliefs and ideologies are these religions. So they decided to make this weapon that would devolve the part of the brain that, you know, held these beliefs and, you know, believed in religion and put stock in all that. So they come up with this, you know, weapon, this bomb, and they take a team of Marines and they vaccinate them against the effects of this. And they go on a test run, and the test run was a, you know, essentially a field test against actual combatants. But it goes horribly wrong, and it ends up being a virus that spreads very quickly, and it spreads to things beyond the humans, and it devolves more than just that part of the brain. It devolves their bodies entirely, and everything becomes very barbaric and, you know, prehistoric. Some people end up being immune, and it looks like the people in the fort we saw must be the descendants of the, you know, these Marines. Originally,
you're kind of inoculated. Following this one girl along.
Yeah. And the girl we're following from the beginning, she's talking about how, you know, she's disgusting. She hasn't bathed in so long.
Because they'd smell her.
Yeah. Last time that she bathed, it caused her brother to be, you know, mutilated and killed. And she's trying to, well, she comes across this guy that she wants to get back to the fort because she thinks she'll be able to leverage him to get some resources she needs, because she's trying to get to, I forget where she's going to, but somewhere where she thinks that she can find a cure for what's been going on. The guy she finds, he was part of this fort of, you know, looks like military, and he escapes out of the fort with a woman because they want to have sex outside of the, you know, watch of the, you know, the military in there. And looks like they're members of the military, but as they're, you know, getting it on, these
quite graphically too.
Yeah, very graphically. very graphically. These you know, barbarians come, you know, and running
scoop
up,
her up and take her away.
Scoop her up, and they try to beat him up with a, you know, stop sign and
yeah, hit him in the not good place. Yeah,
yeah, I think they barely missed missed him, but they steal her, kidnap her, and leave him for dead. And she finds him and takes him back to the fort, thinking that she can get, you know, water and resources for him. But the guy that's in charge of the fort, we find out he has this harem of, you know, wives, and the girl that the guy was having sex with is one of them. And he goes on this kind of rampage and decides this, you know, woman that brought him back is going to, you know, take her place. So he kidnaps her and they kill her horse, and very brutal, and kind of shows how, as brutal as the devolved humans are, the ones that aren't evolved, the ones that are continuing the path that we were on, are even more barbaric and vicious.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think about that. It was good. Not great. It was an all
right
first issue.
It's Rick Remender, right?
It's Rick Remender. I forget who's on art. The art was...
Yeah.
It was...
The problem was it had a J. Lee cover, and so the inside was clearly very...
It was not. And it'd be great, but then there'd be like one panel, especially some close-ups on faces, that looked way too cartoony almost. Like the guy, I can't remember his name, but the shirtless, hairy guy that was the clear leader of the military compound, was kind of weird whenever they zoomed in on him. What's that?
Harem Joe.
Harem Joe. And then there was a weird twist where we see, like, someone looking at the compound through a satellite, and they're talking about the girl, and then we find out they are on what appears to be the moon, like this little station, and they appear to be running their own experiments on the virus, and one of them becomes contaminated, so she propels herself out into space as she's quickly devolving and gets killed.
That's how it ends.
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting, but I don't know if I'll come back for issue two or if I'll just wait for the trades. It's a miniseries. It wasn't a book that I immediately thought, oh, I can't wait till the next issue.
Yeah.
So that's the last one I'll do.
Oh, okay. I just have two. One, I'm not going to talk in detail about because I know Dave just bought it. I didn't sell that many, so I don't want to blow it for Dave. But it was American Monster. My only complaint with it is the pitch, the premise sounds really good, but none of it was really addressed in the first issue. There was no explanation. It was just kind of introducing a lot of completely unrelated characters. Okay. And it was like, okay, I don't know if I'd stick with it, not knowing the pitch, where I think where this is going, where this is going to be about. So not bad, but yeah, just like a lot of little vignettes setting up things that didn't tie together. So it was interesting. It was Azzarello, so I have confidence.
Yeah.
But it just, it didn't, I'm finding this more and more where the issue doesn't explain what the pitch. Like I had that, again, the problem with Postal.
Yeah.
There's been a couple other ones where... I didn't get it. So it was good. The art was good. It was Wando, who's got a very interesting art style. But it was good. But yeah, just a little disjointed. The other one I just read was Silver Surfer. I wanted to give number one a chance because I didn't care for the first one. Not that I didn't care for it, but it the first issue way back when, you know, a year ago, was a little too Doctor Who-y, where it was Silver Surfer all of a sudden has a companion and all this, and I'm reading this one going, oh god, it's even worse. It's more Doctor Who. There's this spaceship where something's about to happen, and they break in, and he's fighting the aliens, and they were transmitting to Earth saying, you know, we're going to come and take you or something. And they break in, and then she takes over the TV, and she's going, hi mom, hi dad, how are you guys doing? Da-da-da-da-da, I'll be home in a week, da-da-da. So then it ends up that then they're home in a week, and, oh, since we knew you were coming and you've been gone for so long, we're going to make it Christmas, birthday, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and they celebrate all the holidays in one night, and the dad is Dan Slott. It is literally, he's drawn himself into the book. And then when the bad guys come, they're sucking all
Pat,
the...
you look so...
It was just disappointing. And so they're sitting and they're doing their fun holiday tradition, their new Turkmen, you know,
crap-tastic
day is watching The Wizard of Oz. So they're watching The Wizard of Oz and singing along, and then all of a sudden something's happening, and these bigger, badder aliens have come along, and what they're doing is they're sucking up culture. So all the culture is being leached off the earth, and all of a sudden the main character can't remember.
That explains the book.
The main character can't remember Wizard of Oz anymore.
Wow, that's really meta.
But now all these aliens, in order to fight Silver Surfer, become every protagonist ever in every story. And so she's trying to figure out how to stop them. So what does she do? She jumps. And as she's falling, the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz catches her. Because he wouldn't let anything happen to her. And then everybody remembers. It was so much of a Doctor Who episode.
When she jumped, were there sharks there?
No. But it was just, I'm reading it just going. But when they showed the picture, and I sent it to Adam. Here, I'll show you. You'll have to look it up on your own.
Is the Silver Surfer there watching The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet
he's
a fan of the flying monkeys.
But, so that's the dad in the book.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
Dan Slott. That's Dan Slott. So, yeah, that's the dad in the book. And that's Dan Slott.
Yeah.
So, I'm just like, oh, come on. So, yeah, it's one I won't be going back to. I know a lot of people really like the run.
Come on.
I'm just like, it's not the Silver Surfer. It's it's Dan Slott writing a Doctor Who book, which is fine.
Writing himself in a Doctor Who book.
Yeah, well, he's probably got some ironclad contract with Marvel.
We don't need him on Spider-Man.
So, that's all I got. So.
So what's coming out next week?
We have Action Comics 49, only pointing it out because it's the Neil Adams, it's the start of the Neil Adams variant. I'm a little annoyed by these, only in the sense we never got to see them. We got to see rough pencil sketches, and it's just one of those.
I thought they put them in the last month previews or 2 months.
It was pencil sketches, and that's all we've ever seen. It's fun. 3 weeks I'm going to Portland, and this is one of the topics that's been brought up on the Comics Pro pages, saying you can't have something on FOC if you don't have a final cover. Because we're putting our final orders in. These are going to be out in 3 weeks. You have to have a final cover. If our numbers have to go in Monday because on Tuesday you're supposed to be setting your print runs. How are you setting a print run if you don't have a cover? So we have to be able to see this stuff. Because I don't know how good or bad these are going to look because I haven't
seen any of them. You mean like the Suicide Squad statues?
I don't care about that because that was just initials. I still get to it. Right. No, I saw Dennis freaked out about it. I'm like, dude, you still have FOC. Relax. And I think they look exactly like the characters.
And it was in this one, too.
Okay, but it was
unpainted in that one.
But it's the problem
was, I understand his problem was they were released to whatever magazine the day after our order was due. Why would you do that? You know? So it probably cost them orders because people are going, oh, I can't see it, not ordering, pass. Now that you've shown it, I don't care.
Yeah.
Pass. I'm on to the next previews. I'm on to the next thing I need to do. I don't have time to revisit. So that's just a little griping point is that we've come up
with.
They
started a joke. It started the whole world laughing.
Amazing Spider-Man 7, Adam. I know you're excited about that.
Yeah.
Batman Europa 4. We'll see how this ends.
That's the last one.
Just fun one. I'm getting a Batman Magic 8-Ball. Captain Marvel 2 for you.
Kind of intrigued, actually, just a little bit.
Deadpool Mercs for Money, Pat. Deja Thoris number 1, a new one from Dynamite. Detective Comics Neil Adams variant. Doctor Strange number 5. Green Arrow Neil Adams, Green Lantern Neil Adams, Invincible Iron Man 6, Dave's coming out next week, number 3.
Wow.
Klaus!
Oh, yes.
Something kind of cool. I forgot I ordered this, but it's only $30. A Marvel Heroes Shield Venom Containment Unit. It's a lava lamp with black stuff in it, but it's the Venom
one?
Yes, the
Venom. Wow, that took a while to get here. That was in previews, almost a year ago.
I thought it was kind of neat.
They have a Carnage one coming out as well.
August, ordered in August. Mirror, which is a new one from Image that they're pushing. Obi-Wan and Anakin number 2. Paper Girls number 5 for Dave. One I'm going to be pushing real big, Prez Volume 1.
Yeah.
Rocket and Groot number 2, Scarlet Witch number 3, Sheriff of Babylon number 3, Spider-Man number 1, the new Miles Morales, as well as Spidey number 3, Swamp Thing number 2, Uncanny Avengers number 5, Uncanny X-Men number 3, Vamp Blade, I know you guys are all big Vamp Blade fans, from our friends at Action Lab. Victory City, the only, number 2, the only reason I've noticed this one, noted this one, is number 1 ship this week. It's like, great. Well, it's a 4-issue mini, and the first 2 issues are shipping weekly. You know. Okay. Vision number 4, did you ever get caught up on that?
I still read number 3.
Okay. Voltron from the Ashes, I know you guys were excited about that. And yeah, Walking Dead 151. So... that's next week. Also, stay tuned next week. I'm going to be launching a new sale that I'm going to be doing. That's going to be a different weekly sale going on for the next 13 weeks.
Ooh, intriguing.
Yeah. So pay attention. That'll weekly be posted sale. Whatever on the 1st. Whatever. I think the 1st is Monday.
Correct.
So I'll be posting that.
For the next 13 weeks.
Next 13 weeks, I'm going to do a special sale. I've been trying to brainstorm some ideas to way to move some new merchandise and stuff. Not old, new stuff. Move some old stuff.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a fun idea.
I think you'll like it.
So you can always reach me here at the store or the websites, PittsburghComics.com, although we're having a bit of a technical difficulty.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, Adam. I was unaware.
Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics and at PGH Comics on the Twitter.
That's podcast.
I'm staring at you, and you're like, what?
You had more to say.
What? No, I'm good.
But so you were thinking about
we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully everybody can make it. See ya.